Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have our Full Swing review, Netflix documentary on the Full Swing show. Very good documentary. Go watch it. We also have Joel Damon on the show. He was episode 2, 3. Awesome episode. Talked to him about his golf career. He might be the coolest golfer out there. And we've talked to some cool golfers.
He's just a good dude.
He's a good dude, great caddy.
Gino.
Great interview with him. Gino makes a cameo on the interview. We're going to do Chicago FAQs at the end of the show. And we're going to get some other stuff as well. Great show for everyone. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. Today is Wednesday, March 1st.
Whoa, let's go.
We're in March.
This is March. January, February, Izzo.
April. Yeah.
7 years.
7 years.
Oh, happy 7 year anniversary, fuck. Yes. I got right? you.
Maybe we should have started with that. We've been doing this podcast for 7 years. Oh, okay, that's March Madness. That has nothing to do with the 7 years. Got it. Okay.
Sorry, a little late.
It's the 7 year itch. It means we're gonna start cheating on each other.
Yeah, we're gonna start looking, getting the wandering eye. Yeah, mm-hmm. 7 years. Holy fuck.
I'm gonna go on Mean Girl Podcast.
Wait, is it really 7 years? 2017.
Well, no, not technically, because
it's like a year and three quarters.
Yeah, because we debuted Part of My Take on February 29th was when we recorded our first episode. Leap day.
7 years.
So we haven't really, we're 1 3/4 years.
Damn, and we're in the first episode we talked about Chris Jones' dick flopping out.
That's right.
Because it was combine season.
Also, happy 500th episode, guys.
Yes, 500th episode.
Right, huge, massive.
Also, shout out our friend Nick Tirani. He just finished his first year at Barstool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big day.
Not true.
Huge day. Yeah. It's just huge day. No, I know. He likes to just go around telling people that and congratulate him. He's been here like 3 years.
Yeah.
All right. So, Combine Week. We're going to Indy where you got some good interviews. Oh, Jake, play the music. Go ahead. Play the fucking music.
Thank you. Sorry.
It is March. It is. The feels do start. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? Pretty soon we're going to get Hello, Friends.
Yeah. Last one.
Mm-hmm. He says that the Masters too.
Yeah,
I feel like his alma mater is a top team. It's in Houston. His last Final Four.
Oh, you didn't listen to the show with Titus?
Yeah, I did.
We talked about that with Titus.
Yeah, that was his big thing. Yeah. It's gonna be a march to remember, friends.
It will be.
Yeah, it's because I remember every March. I'm so excited. It is my. It's not the best sports month. I think that still is October. It might be second.
I think it's the best sports weekend of the year. The first weekend of March Madness.
Well,
that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Not to go hipster on UPFT, but I'm a conference championship week kind of guy too.
Yeah, I mean, but we're not going to sit here with a straight face and say conference championship week is better.
More games
than week one of March Madness.
More games.
I disavow that.
Conference championship weekend.
It's like eating a giant appetizer where you fill up a little bit too much. Where the entree comes out, you're like, am I going to be able to handle this? You take two bites of that entree, and you're like, you know what? I can do it.
Listen, it's okay. Real ball heads, they love conference championship week. Then everyone else in America watches for March Madness. Well, it's fine.
Real ball heads know that conference championship week started today.
Real ball heads know the conference championship week started yesterday.
Yep. Bellarmine with a buzzer beater over North Florida in the eighth zone first round.
Because it real ball heads know that Bellarmine can't make the tournament this year.
But there were Queens College.
Queens, who also is ineligible, they beat Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
And today, Tuesday, we have four tournaments in action, including the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
PFT's JMU Dukes have a bye.
Let's go Dukes.
Yep. Yeah. Three wins away.
Got a chance to get in there. All right. So before we do our full swing review, what else is going on? I know we had an update on the never-ending Aaron Rodgers saga that's just basically it. Now the vibe is everyone's saying it feels like a divorce is imminent. It feels like, I think Jeff Darlington said it was the two sides are talking not like they're getting figuring out a way to keep this together, more how to amicably split.
Okay, conscious uncoupling, yes. Right? That's what Gwyneth Paltrow taught us?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that Aaron Rodgers is probably going to leave. I didn't ever think that before, even when he was coming back, when he was trying to figure out if he was going to play. I always got the feeling like he would be back in Green Bay, like that was his home. This time, I would be surprised if Aaron Rodgers was a Green Bay Packer next year.
I think I would as well. I don't want to fall for it again, but it does feel a little bit different this time around, especially they had so combine all the coaches talk and Matt LaFleur, I think, or maybe it was Gutenkest or whatever, however you say his fucking name, said Jordan Love is a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like he was like, this guy can start.
Yeah.
So it does feel like they're turning the page ready for Jordan Love era.
Yeah, and if you're the New York Jets, you're going to be – you're kind of all in at this point on Aaron Rodgers. That's why you hired Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah.
He's 0 for 1 lifetime in getting Aaron Rodgers to the town that he's in.
Yes.
But I feel like that's the main reason why they got him in, like they knew something. They took Derek Carr out on that nice date just so that Aaron could see them in the restaurant and get a little bit jealous and be like, what, they don't want me?
Yep.
I do think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Jet next year.
I want him to go to the Titans or something. Because I was thinking about it, the Jets, I have long-standing take that once Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay, I will root for him because I think it would be funny if he won a title without the Packers, like if he won a Super Bowl in his first year off the Packers. But thinking about it more, I can't root for him if Billy is just being like, this guy's so good.
Yeah, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, guys. Like, I
you guys
I
don't
can't.
Know what it's like
it would,
to have
it would
a great
kill
quarterback.
Me. It would kill me.
So
Titans are I don't have to worry about
it. I could see the Titans on paper last year would made a lot more sense than this year because if he thinks that he doesn't have weapons in Green Bay,
I know.
Then going to Tennessee right now is not a good
Trayvon
option
Burks.
For him. I also think that Tennessee just screams Carson Wentz to me.
Yeah.
It feels like a Carson Wentz situation.
I don't think Carson Wentz is going anywhere to start. You definitely.
Well, he's not going to start.
Definitely not.
But he will be going somewhere.
Who cares? He should find backup.
He should just retire.
Yeah.
He should just go kill ducks full time.
XFL. Or the Raiders for Aaron Rodgers, which would be fun.
Or what about this? The Panthers.
Oh.
Frank Reich.
Oh.
Because I don't think Frank Reich ever hated Carson Wentz. I think they liked each other. But Mr. Irsay got on the horn and was like, I can't do another year.
Yeah.
Respect to Mr. Irsay for that.
Hmm. Well, we'll see more drama. I hope they just do it soon.
Oh, they're not.
Yeah. They're also, yeah, the other news was the Bears are officially shopping number one. Duh. No duh.
Yeah.
I don't think that will happen. I was reading up about like when it usually goes down. I think the earliest was like March 17th was maybe Sam Darnold or someone in the last few years where a first round pick gets traded. So it will be mid-March before we have some like real movement.
Yeah, the way the combine works is a bunch of front office people take like a mid-winter trip to Indy. They all get drunk together, and then somebody makes a drunken handshake deal, and then they come back and have to renegotiate the drunken handshake deal because it turns out that one guy was way drunker than the other guy.
Yes.
And so then there's about a two-week time span after that where the deals that get made actually get signed.
And the big news about the combine this year, the big storyline is going to be pretty much all Bryce Young's height.
Yeah, well,
so a lot of truthers out there, a lot of people saying that he's listed at 5'10 and a half, 195. People are saying he's more like 5'9, 180. A lot of truthers.
I'm a 5'11 truther. I think he's 5'10 and a half, which is what Todd McShay said.
Yeah.
And if you're 5'10 and a half, then you can lie to yourself and be like, "Okay, he's 5'11." And my advice to Bryce Young would actually be, don't worry about the height. You can't change your height. Trust me, I've tried. You can have the limb lengthening surgery. That's like 2 years, not worth it. However, you can become a sturdy, a solid 5'11 guy.
Yeah.
And just put on 15 pounds.
That's the problem. I have the height, we've kind of debunked. You'd rather your quarterbacks be taller than shorter. That's just a fact. But there are guys who have played well who have not been the tallest guys in the world. He is the combo of shortest, slightest that we've seen in a very long time.
You just got to have people say, like, Russell Wilson, he's sturdy.
Yeah.
He's thick. He's dummy thick. If I'm Bryce Young.
Yeah, Kyler Murray's got some ass.
He has a little bit of ass to him. If I'm Bryce Young, you don't have to worry about running the 40. No one's going to ask you to run the 40 this week. No one's going to ask you to throw this week. I think he's saving that for his pro day.
At all. He's literally just showing up to show how much weight he's gained.
He's just showing up to be measured.
Yeah.
So just show up. Just get fucking fat as hell.
Yeah.
Just do nothing but order Seamless to your couch all week. Watch Netflix. That's your prep. I would be elite at preparing for the combine if I was Bryce Young.
Put some tungsten up your ass.
There you go.
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, why? What, do you think they would act? I mean, they're not going to actually, like, go into his pants. They go out in their underwear.
They might do a metal detector.
You think so?
Or a MRI?
I don't know. Like, that's something then that most guys probably wouldn't. I don't think they've ever thought about, like, someone might cheat on this.
He could just be like, I have no idea how that got there.
Yeah, this tungsten. Oh, I always carry that in my ass.
Yeah.
It's my secret power. But, yeah, that's going to be the big story. I'm trying to think what else is going on. Well, we have full swing.
LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron's ankle.
LeBron's foot. He says he's going to take, 2 weeks to reevaluate his foot. So that's now we're down to the most important 13 games of his career.
Yep.
So LeBron is out. For the record, I did not miss a single podcast when I broke my foot.
Mm-hmm.
He has a pretty much broken foot, basically a broken foot. But in reality, I think we can probably close the season, close the book on this Lakers season.
It was so funny, too, because it looked, I don't know if you tuned into any coverage on Monday of the Lakers' big win against the Mavs, but basically, wall-to-wall coverage on ESPN being like, the Lakers are now the team to beat in the West.
Yeah.
So much so that Zach Lowe on his podcast went a little behind the curtain, and he said that a producer on ESPN called him up and was like, hey, can you come on NBA Live or whatever it's called? The Jump, maybe? I don't know. Can you come on because everyone in the panel thinks the Lakers are like would beat the Grizzlies or the team to beat now in the West. We can't find anyone who doesn't think that, and like you might be that guy. And he's like, I'm off today, so I can't come on. But yes, I think it's ridiculous that everyone thinks the Lakers are going to win the West because they beat the Mavs on Sunday.
They're not the Warriors. They're not in like flip the switch mode. The Warriors, right. you could start the playoffs and Steph Curry could play his first game of the season. And I'd be like, yeah, the Warriors are going to flip the switch.
Yeah.
And they'll be fine.
But it was just
funny. The Lakers, they've had the switch flipped for the last 3 years. They've been in a perpetual state of having the switch in the on position.
Yep.
And it short circuits.
Yeah. But it's just so funny they had to call Zach Lowe and be like, hey, we need someone who will disagree with the Lakers being like the title contenders now after one game. So can you help us? He's like, nope, sorry.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Only half game out of the play-in.
They're half game out of the play-in.
Yes, they might make the playoffs.
And LeBron, well.
Playing.
LeBron is going to miss 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And then they're going to reassess.
Most important 13 games of his career.
Yeah.
It's not one thing, Big Cat, you're forgetting, though. It's not in LeBron's DNA to miss the playoffs 2 seasons in a row.
That's true.
It's not.
I am a little.
As per LeBron.
I am a little bummed because I did want to see what happened in these most important 23 regular season games of his career. I was curious.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been nice. I don't want LeBron to win another title, but it would have been nice to see him, you know, go on a little run, maybe have like one or two playoff series with some iconic moments, maybe lose to Chris Paul. Well, that would have been fun.
The bottom line is that the Lakers haven't been shit since they lost Caruso.
Yep, that's a fact.
He was the straw that stirred the drink.
That's a fact. And they
Serious question. Do you think Alex Caruso is the last person in the United States to get arrested for weed?
Yeah, probably.
I think he might be.
He's definitely, I mean, especially, I still don't understand how that happened when he's like, he's just been like, dude, I'm Alex Caruso, played on the Aggies.
Yeah,
what are we doing here?
It's College Station.
Yeah, like, what are we doing?
He's lucky they didn't put him on death row for that.
Yeah, he probably is, though. That's probably a good point. All right, should we do some full swing talk? It was awesome.
It was a great documentary,
And we have Joel Damon coming up, great interview with him, talking about his episode. Where do we want to start? Big picture? Overall, what would you guys rate it?
I give it 2 under par.
Okay. I give it 3.5 balls.
Okay.
I give it really good, but not as good as Drive to Survive.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was. I binge watch every episode. I've watched some of the episodes twice, so I liked it a lot. But and especially because Drive to Survive is now out, I've been watching the new season. I think part of it is because Drive to Survive is teams, so it's kind of easy to be like, you know, team one, team two. They did the same thing with players, but there's just so many players that it felt like there was a lot of stuff being missed because the fields are so big and they can only focus in on whatever it was, eight players in the whole season.
Yeah. I would say the so 12? I went three and a half balls out of five. I think you could get to 4.5 balls if you just had Patrick Reed in it. Like there was no. I know that the live tension was, they tried to build it up, but it didn't feel, until like Rory said, fuck you, Phil, make sure that stays in. There wasn't that like super tense moment where, like Hank is talking about in Drive to Survive, you know these guys hate each other. You know who hates who, and it's like they're on camera together. It never really felt like we had that.
The only bad guy that they really had was it would just be like shots of Greg Norman walking outside
right.
with sunglasses on.
Right.
And he does look like a shark when right. he's walking around. So you're like, okay, this is the bad guy. I get even the guys that joined Liv on there, like DJ when they were talking to him, I think DJ's the only one that was openly, brutally honest with it, who was like, yeah, I get paid way more money for playing way less golf.
Yes.
So that, and if everybody had said that when they go to the Live Tour, I think people would have had a much better understanding of like why they're doing it, and they would have been more understanding of like, okay, I get it. You have a family to look after. There was one moment where Brooks, when he was talking about it, we should probably embrace debate on this. He said he has the opportunity to set up his grandkids' grandkids.
Ooh.
By going to the Live Tour.
That's a lot of grandkids.
I'm trying to do the math. We don't know how much money Brooks got. If let's say he got $100 million, is that grandkids' grandkids' money?
No.
It depends if your grandkids are smart enough to like go to college.
Four or five generations.
Right, and do you know how much taxes and shit? And then also you're going to have a shithead generation. That always happens with every generation. Like there's always, what's the old saying? Like the first generation builds, the second generation maintains, the third generation destroys it.
Yeah, I think each generation will have their Hunter Biden.
Yeah,
which will just take, there will be one kid. Let's say Brooks has three kids, and then those three kids each have three kids. How many are we at right now?
Nine.
That would be two generations.
So nine kids.
No, 12, right?
Because those are the grandkids, and then you need to get to the
three kids have three kids.
Yeah.
So basically, our grandparents.
That's nine kids.
Nine kids.
It'll be our grandparents to our grandkids, because our grandkids will be.
Congratulations! I didn't know you were expecting.
It'll be two above us and two below us. So four generations.
Yeah, that's too much. Yeah. That's too much. That's that. That's so we're talking about like, yeah, our. This is. Our grandparents' grandparents, we're talking about like 150 years ago in fucking Europe or wherever the fuck.
Yeah, I don't know what my great-great-grandparents did besides get smashed by an elevator.
Yeah. Have you ever watched that show, by the way? I think it's on PBS. The guy goes through the history with like famous people.
Oh, yeah,
It's awesome.
Yeah,
they had one where
it was that Larry David was actually related to Bernie.
Bernie Sanders. Yeah. Yes, that one. Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, those rule. But yeah, so anyway, Brooks, we're going to have Brooks back on. I know people think that we have like some issue with him. We do not. He is definitely going to come back on, maybe talk about this episode. But his episode, I felt bad for him.
I did too.
I was
he's
like,
in a bad place.
It was the most human he's shown other than like on camera. He's been human otherwise, but I felt bad. It felt like golf is such a like miserable game that if you lose even a little bit, you start questioning everything.
Yeah, it's very much played in your own brain. And with Brooks, he had the ability to just turn it on for majors, and he just didn't give a shit about golf when it wasn't a major championship. And then once you get like a little crack in that confidence that you have, and you're unable to turn it on at any point, now he would kill to win any tournament.
Right.
And it doesn't work like that. He hasn't built up that muscle to care about the small stuff enough. And then once you start screwing up in the small times, then your entire confidence just gets destroyed. You can't. The nice thing about playing team sports is that you always have somebody else to blame it on.
Right.
Even if you're not doing it publicly, you can always lie to yourself in
your
head.
You tell your friends.
Yeah, you tell your friends.
This guy's a fucking asshole.
You can tell your wife. You can tell yourself. Be like, yeah, you know what? I would have gotten that first down if my line had blocked for me a little bit better. You know, like there are those lies that you can tell in golf. You can't really. There's nobody to blame but yourself. It sucks.
And I so The one funny thing that happened in that episode, actually, I hit up Brooks and I was like, just watch your episode. Like, this kind of, it's brutal to watch. You have to go through this. And he said that in the scene when he had the triggered sweatshirt with his mom, he said that he had just lost an all-time bad beat in March Madness. So that was part of why he was like, I wish they had kept it in. Because it that actually says that Brooks might have it again.
Yeah.
That was great composure.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely looked down at the dumps. Maybe it was mostly because of that loss. Maybe it had nothing to do with golf.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. My feedback for Brooks, I have two pieces of feedback. And Brooks, you can take these or leave these. We love you no matter what, just the way you are. The hair, the blonde hair.
Yeah.
Might be time to change that up.
Yeah.
Might be time because he looks like he's got the whole, like, late 90s Eminem thing going on.
Yeah.
Justin
Timberlake.
Might be time to just to maybe just dye the hair, maybe cut the hair off.
Yeah.
The other piece of feedback, you should play with your dog more.
Uh-huh.
You should play with your dog. Your dog really wanted to play with you, Brooks.
Yeah.
And you looked like at times that you didn't want to play with your very good dog.
It's got to be so weird having just cameras in your own home following you around being like, so, you used to be sick. What happened?
Yeah.
Well, like, I'd probably flip out and just be like, get the fuck out of my house.
And I'm so dumb when I was watching this show, I was like, I can't believe that they somehow randomly put cameras and production crews with the golfers that were making all that news that week. Like, can you believe that they had a group following around Fitzpatrick when he won the U.S. Open? Can you believe they had a camera crew following around Mito when he choked away the PGA? And then I was like, oh, yeah, they probably had a lot of different camera crews.
Yeah, they had a shitload of guys.
And they just used the ones that worked.
Yes.
Do you think Brooks actually didn't know who won the Masters?
I think his answer was honest in that he knew it, but it, like, straight off, he couldn't give it to you, like, instant.
Yeah. I got that same vibe. Because he was like, this is bad that I can't remember.
Scheffler. Okay, see, that was kind of similar. I blanked on it for a second there, but I knew that. Yeah. That was a tough episode. The other episodes, a couple of my favorite episodes, I loved, obviously, Joel Damon, which we're going to get to. Just, the coolest dude in the world. Mm-hmm. Ian Poulter episode, like, I don't know. Dude, I don't really need to sit in the closet and watch you, like, pick out your outfits.
Pants,
for,
though.
For 15 minutes.
But he wears weird pants.
Yeah, he does.
Well, the funny fact about that I've learned this year afterwards, watching that, where they focused on his pants and his outfits the whole time, Liv, in an effort to make the teams more organized and be able to follow better, are making the teams wear the
uniforms,
same outfits, and they just have plain blue pants.
Oh!
That sucks. Poulter's probably going to come back.
Yeah, they caged a bird song. Fuck.
That's tough. That's a tough
songbird.
Look for him.
I don't know why I said
the
that.
The songbird sing. Why does the songbird sing?
Yeah.
Even they the cage. Wait. We're really. Even the cage bird sings.
Yeah. The canary in the coal mine.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys all had these moments. It's so funny watching a documentary type of a sport you have some knowledge about, and watching them explain things to you in the most basic terms, and you're like, yeah, I fucking understand what a cut is. And then I thought about how frustrating it must be for F1 fans watching Drive to Survive, like real F1 fans being like, why are they explaining the points? Like, everyone knows this. There was just a couple times they're like, yeah, so everyone shows up on Thursday and they play and they cut it in half. And it's like, yeah, that's golf.
That was one of my other, but this is, I thought
they have
this,
to do that.
And then
though,
as I've been watching F1, I'm like, this is, it's the same production company. They're doing it the same way. But with F1, you don't really, I don't know what happened, so it's fun to watch and see it unfold. The golf, I remembered what happens in all the episodes or whatever, so the doing it the non-linear way, where it's like they're kind of going back to the same tournament, was kind of like throwing me off, where I was like, I kind of wish they just followed it as a season, but I realized after the fact that's just how those shows are formatted.
No, like I said on Monday's show, like there was... It was just a highlight tape of when I lost money betting on Will Zalatoris. Like, there was that when they were doing the...
We were in the studio for like half of those.
Yeah, the Fitzpatrick one,
the
U.S. Open.
The bunker shot on 18, I remember.
The U.S. Open was literally my son's birthday and Father's Day, and I yelled at the whole household being like, hey, everyone, like, let's get this fucking shit together. This guy's got to make
also in that sequence, peak massholes. They were not fans of Fitzpatrick. They
were just charging him. That was very funny.
Yeah.
Like, those weren't even... there was a couple chirps, and like they were like... dealing with the unruly fans.
Yeah,
you got to though. If you're
that was some good masshole
if,
stuff.
If you're a true masshole, that is That's the birthplace of the revolution.
Yeah.
You got to defend your soil against the Brits at all costs.
Yeah.
I respect that.
It was, yeah, I mean, it was cool to watch, like, the inside of all that stuff and even, like, seeing the clubhouses. Rory's episode was awesome. Mm-hmm. I love Rory. How can you not root for a guy like that? Where's his family?
I don't know.
That was kind of weird, was it not?
Well, if you're Rory, you probably have the clout to be like, you can put me on the show, just my family.
No family.
Not,
all right, that's fair. But it was weird when after he won the FedEx at the end, and he walked into the clubhouse, and the guy was standing there, gave him a glass of red wine. He was just sitting by himself.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is kind of a bummer.
Tony Finau took all the spots.
Yeah, yeah, Tony Finau did
huge
take.
Huge family. Waited at the private jet.
Tony Finau is Dick Vermeil. He, if you just say the word golf to him with a camera in his face, he'll start crying so much.
His family's awesome, too.
Oh, in the story, the Tony Finau, like the golf balls against the garage door, all that shit was so awesome. Like, he's another one. It was Rory, it was Tony Finau, and Joel Damon of guys that I saw on this being like, I will always root for these guys.
I like Thigala, too.
I like Sahith was my favorite. Yeah. He was my favorite story and episode.
Really?
His dad was awesome. His dad was like, I was getting emotional. I was like, I think that my son's going to be really good, so I have no choice but to do everything that I can
awesome
to support
dad.
Him.
Awesome.
That was one I obviously knew he didn't win, but when they were setting him up in the waste management and he like fucked up on 17, like I was like, damn.
Yeah.
That was the most emotional I got probably watching it, just being like, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have some other. What'd you guys think about the JT Spieth card game? That made no sense to me.
What were they playing?
They literally were just like, $100 if you guess a card.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that felt a little manufactured. That felt, you know what it felt like to me, is that they actually play cards for a shitload of money, and they're like, well, we don't want to show that, so we'll just pretend to do this.
When they did the FaceTime, when like, what should I talk about at your wedding? And they made it seem like it was spontaneous, but the cameras are both there.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of the first episode. I was like, this might not be a good show, but it got a lot better. But those two things, I was like, what? These are both clearly stage for the cameras.
There were a lot of conversations that would have been like just normal guys hanging out, being cool, except they were all set on the backdrop of a private plane.
Yeah.
There are a lot of private plane conversations.
Oh, also, Justin Thomas's, we got to have him back on. His trainer's kind of fat. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's different in golf. And Jordan Spieth was working out in a polo.
Yeah.
Which is so perfect.
Kept his hat on.
Yeah, he was working out in a polo. What were you going to say, Hank?
Danny Rapp, our coworker, obviously made a bunch
of
cameos.
In it a lot, yeah.
They when he's friends with Fitzpatrick, which was cool. I didn't know that. But Fitzpatrick, when he came in, he was like acted as if Danny Rapport was like a bomb. He like opened the door, was like, the cameras are on, the cameras are on, the cameras are on.
Yeah.
That was like, I didn't know who he was talking to, and then he came in. I was like, what? Danny Rapport's in the show. He know like
yeah, right.
It's Danny Rapport. Right. What's he gonna say?
I liked how every time that they interviewed Rapport, he had a different glass of some sort of drink in front of him.
Yeah.
But he never drank out of it. It was like his prop that he always had.
The only I also like the DJ, the Paulina thing that I didn't think about that she said, which was made a lot of sense, was like, yeah, I grew up with a dad who was like an athlete and was never around, so like she probably hated that.
Yeah.
So it makes sense where she's like obviously pushing DJ to be around more.
Also, the DJ episode, they showed, I love like the old clips of the guys like rising up. Dustin Johnson's beard makes a lot of sense, Hank.
I know why you have the
same beard. No, like I saw the old clips of him as like when he was a rookie on tour. And
he was still a fucking tank.
I was like, what the fuck? And then I realized, like, oh yeah, that beard looks really good. Keep that.
I did have one moment that took my breath away that I'd forgotten about when Tiger Woods was wrapping up at St. Andrews, or St. Andrews as they call it on the show.
Yeah.
And he took his hat off on the 18th green.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. He doesn't have a lot working with.
Whoa. It's bad. It looks, like a chia pet in the Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
It's not good. I know Scott Van Pelt's been trying to convince him, come home, shave that thing. It is way, way overdue for
Tiger.
And
you think a guy like Tiger, like, come on, you can get some lawn maintenance. Like, you can do something.
You could, yeah. I mean, but then again, if you're Tiger and you're still slaying, it's like, what's the point, really?
He does fuck. Tiger does fuck.
We should get... Charlie Wood should be on the next season.
My other question is who obviously Max.
Max for sure.
But who,
is.
Max
who
was else a little did you feel
bit.
Like,
I'm actually
yeah.
happy that
but
Max
who did you feel
was
like was missing.
I want like Max. It was almost good because Max has had his glow up coming like the last, I don't know, whatever it is.
25
months. Yeah. So, but he will be great on it. Max will fucking crush it.
Most of Max's appearances this time were, there were so many times when they showed Tiger and then Max was walking nearby him. And I was like, there's Max.
Yeah.
Zalatoris, more of it. They just showed his highlights.
Yeah, as Tiger, actual like storylines.
Tiger, obviously. Would
John
be
Daly.
John Daly. Zalatoris would be fun. Max is they definitely going to be on it.
They did a good job for the most part with the roster.
Also, what about...
Obviously, that's where there's so many people you can't...
I realize I like Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, no. There's nothing to not like
I thought that he was just like a boring guy because I didn't really know much about him, and they didn't have like anything cool to talk about when he was winning the Masters. They were just like, the story behind this guy is he loves his wife, and he's very, very, very good at golf.
Went to the same high school as Clayton Kershaw and Matt Stafford.
There's also that little nugget that they dropped on us, but... I like him. I think he's actually like a very cool, normal guy.
There's nothing. The only reason I don't like Scottie Scheffler is that I've lost money when he's won tournaments.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, and I've had the other guys.
I don't like Scottie Scheffler because he does stand in the way of Will Zalatoris and Max. Yeah.
He is. But he, talk about a choke job on that fucking. That was definitely a football's going on. I don't remember this tournament. The FedEx. At the end,
when it was worth like $12 million.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and started like, at 10 under.
Yeah.
The handicap.
I also like Rory. Rory kind of saved the PGA Tour, him and Tiger. I didn't realize the extent of everything that was going on, but they were very smart about the way they approached it because they knew that with the money that was being doled out from the LIV Tour, the PGA Tour was going to continue to lose good players.
Right.
Like some of the best players. And it was a good intersection for them being like, well, we care about the PGA and we want it to succeed, but at the same time, we have an enormous amount of leverage. So let's handle this behind the scenes, do a players only meeting on a tarmac somewhere, and then figure out our list of demands, bring it to the PGA, and they'll have no choice but to approve it. It's a win-win.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, and Rory... Like he even said it, I never thought I'd be in this position because golf is a personal sport. Like you're playing for yourself. There's no team, and for him to step up was pretty cool.
Yeah,
because you can easily, if you're Rory, you can easily just be like, "Who cares? I have my money. I've won my tournaments. Do whatever you want. I'm not getting involved in this."
Yeah, Rory did a great job with that. He also said something very relatable, which I think at least me and you can relate to here. Which was when I was like 20 years old, I thought there's no chance that I'm ever going to be working when I'm 40.
Yep.
When you're 40, you're so old. And now that I'm like 38, 40's not at old at all.
No.
It's not.
No.
Not at all.
It's not.
40's the new 17.
For podcasters, we're uncharted territory.
That's true.
The older we get, we've never gone into this abyss.
We care about the future generation of podcasters too. We want them to get involved. But also we want to train them some wrong habits to make sure they don't take over.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope future podcasters get burnt out in like 2 years so that someday in like 50 years from now, they're like, can you believe those guys podcasted for like two decades of dominance?
The Rolling Stones of podcasting?
Yeah, right. Holy shit.
We should do retirement
tours. How did they do it? Podcasters can't even last 24 months now.
There's a senior tour for podcasters. Sponsored by Depends.
We would just do it at like a coffee shop every morning.
Yeah.
Like a local coffee shop or donut place and just read the newspaper.
Sign me up.
I'm definitely in. So yeah, the whole thing was great though. I enjoyed it. There was a couple of episodes.
I learning about the guys that we didn't really know much about. Like Mito Pereira, how he got on, 3 Corn Ferry Tour wins. Like I didn't know that was a thing.
I gotta say though, Mito Pereira saying like he just called his wife short. He was just like, yeah, I love her. She's short.
She's
like,
short, but she's feisty, yeah. I think.
Also, I love with Tony Finau's win. He had one bogey the entire tournament, and his son who's like, I'd make that putt 8 out of 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
And it cuts to the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have no choice but to root for Tony Finau. I feel like you're a bad human being.
You remember on the Masters Par 3 where he like turned his ankle and it came back into place?
And our old coworker, Colby, was the Tony Finau tracker.
Oh, that's right.
He just changed his Twitter handle to Tony Finau tracker. Like, way before he became kind of popular.
And like we were talking about earlier, just guys being dudes getting massages in the locker room talking shit about the LIV players.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, the locker room, there should be more shit talking in that locker room. I feel like they all stick to themselves a little bit too much.
The gym, I like the gym scenes too, where they're in their little, like, it's like a trailer gym.
Yeah.
And they're all like working out and stretching, but like they had DJ and Rory in there at the same time.
It's a dynamic unlike any sport, because like you're friends, but you're competing, but you're not really competing against them. So it's like you can root for each other.
Yeah. I forget who it was. Some guy, he finished a round. He was not happy with it. And then he went immediately back out.
Was it Joaquin Niemann to the driving range? Mito Pereira?
I forget who it was.
The guys from Costa Rica or Chile?
Chile. He went right back out onto the range afterwards. And I understand.
Was it Tony? I think so.
I understand, like, once you get done with a shitty round, you want to fix whatever it is right then. But you can't because you're in the middle of just playing shitty. So you have to, like, go to sleep.
Oh, no, it's Sahith.
Was it Sahith?
Yeah, to go, the waste management.
You have to go to sleep and wake up the next day and just hope that whatever it was yesterday is completely fixed somehow.
Right. Golf is just fucking impossible sport.
It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Because you can play so well for 16 holes, you double bogey one, see ya.
I saw all a stat the other day where it was like the difference between scratch golfers and golfers that hit 90 is only 1.8 birdies around. So basically, like, it's not fucking up is like the key to being good at golf, which is like you think like, oh, someone's a scratch golfer, they're just birdieing everything. It's like, no, they're just not bogeying anything.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, these guys are just so that when they get a triple bogey, everyone's gasping.
Yeah.
And like, how could this happen? Like, I could do that every fucking day. Like, it's just, it's like
recovery. It's the recovery shots. Yeah, like they hit bad shots.
Right.
Recovery shots to hit are insane.
Right. Like a bogey is really bad for them, and it just shows how fucking
like
good
for
they
us,
are.
One bad shot ruins the hole. They just bounce back.
Me. No,
72 at Shinnecock. Yeah.
So,
I'm just saying, one bad shot is like, all right, I'll just do another bad shot.
Well, no, if I had one really bad shot, I just pick my ball up, right? Yeah, and then next hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. On to the next one. I also laughed out loud every single time a golfer took their shirt off, looking at the farmer's tan that they all have.
Yes.
It's always shocking to me it's like the perfect line on their biceps, perfect line on their neckline. It looks like they're wearing a white t-shirt permanently.
Yes. The whole thing was great. It was great. I'm excited for the next season. Also, did you guys see that they're doing one for football? Which that will be funny when they explain the rules to football.
Hard Knocks?
It's Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota. They followed all three of them this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It's actually the perfect three. You know what I mean? Like I'm interested in all three for different reasons.
Yeah.
Also, did you see that Brittany Mahomes and Joe Rogan are clashing?
I did not see that.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Was that one of your hot seat cool thrones?
Yep.
All right. Sorry. So we'll get to it. All right. Let's do hot seat cool throne. We have more Full Swing with Joel Damon coming up. Hank, hot seat cool throne.
My hot seat was LeBron.
Mm.
But you guys,
you're probably pretty broken up about this.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited, 23 most important games of his career. That's exciting. So it's a shame he's going to have to miss a bunch.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And then my cool throne was, I have a couple, LSU signed Bob Diaco. They're back.
Okay. Fuck yes. I met Bob Diaco's like nephew or cousin in Barstool Scottsdale at the bar. And he just... It's very rare, we love whenever people come up to us and say something. It's very rare that you can stop me in your tracks and be like, a lot of people like, oh, yeah, I remember this or random thing. But to say, like, I'm related to Bob Diaco, I, like, stopped and was like, wait, what? had a whole conversation with him.
Did he tell you about LSU?
I don't think he did.
Damn.
Yeah. I would not have sat on that news. Come on, Hank.
My cool throne is Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
Dropped 71. 41 in the first half. I feel like the Donovan Mitchell one got a lot more buzz.
Well, no. The Donovan Mitchell one happened during DeMar Hamlin. I remember it was against the Bulls.
Oh. I saw less buzz. There was one headline.
You remember after, like, he was taking pictures and the whole world was like, did this guy just die?
There was a headline right after after Dame 71 where somebody said, like, is this the most underwhelming 70-point performance in NBA history?
Jesus Christ.
I respect it, though.
It like, also
wait, 41 in the first half?
You must absolutely hate sports to have that be your initial take. Like, yeah. Oh, that sucked.
The NBA went nuclear this past weekend, like last 4 or 5 days. Clay hitting 12 threes was insane. They also showed the stat. I'm going to look it up, but... Basically, anytime someone scores over 60, it's just a reminder that Wilt Chamberlain wasn't real. Most 60-point games. I think it was something like the most – yeah, he has 32 times he scored 60-plus Kobe is number two with 6.
And then Dame's 5, right?
Yeah, Dame's 5, MJ 4, James Harden 4. But like 32 times.
With no three-point line.
No three-point line.
And there, I mean, there's, I mean, not to go Doc heavy, but there's a Bill Russell doc on Netflix, and it's just like he just owned Will Chamberlain.
Oh, yeah.
As good as he was. Crazy how dominant Bill Russell was.
Didn't Wilt sleep? No. Did Bill Russell sleep at Wilt's house when they played sometimes? I thought there was that
A lot
story.
Of people slept at Wilt's house.
That's true. That's a very good point. Might have been the other way around.
A lot of people.
20,000. That's such an insane number.
It's cap.
I mean, duh.
It's cap.
It's like,
but even if it's,
you have to be fucking all the time.
Even if it's a quarter of that all time.
Right. And it probably is a quarter of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also had an insane bench press. I think it's Wilt.
Yeah, 500 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And long jump and 40 times.
And high jump.
Just insane.
Like, not only tall, but like freakishly like crazy muscle contraction, like crazy stuff.
All right. Good job, Hank.
Thanks.
You're looking a little stressed.
Yeah. Chicago moves got me, you know.
Oh, I was saying your beard. Yeah. Is it the lottery ball?
That's a lot of things.
Hank did say that he was going to retire from Twitter.
You won't.
I could if I didn't have this job, I would be off social media.
That's not true.
100%.
That's not true.
I actually believe Hank.
If I didn't, no. if you told me I
think about it, the guy can't tweet without saying like fucking a man.
Yeah,
he's not exactly.
Think about all the whale content that he'd be missing.
True.
No, I would just.
You'd have like a small Instagram.
I'd go IRL to the whales.
Oh yeah, true, true. But yeah, you said you were going to delete your account. You were going to deactivate your account.
No, I just said I'm going to retire from Twitter until I get the lottery ball.
So you're going to deactivate your account?
No, I didn't say that.
Well,
forever.
You're saying that by saying that until you get, you're never going to get it. So just deactivate your account.
But hey,
oh god,
what about when you guys, what about when you guys come back? That was an all-time delayed Hank reaction. What about when you guys come back against
the
76ers?
Said it last night too. I was like, I don't get it.
From a 3-1 deficit, and you beat the Sixers in the playoffs. Are you saying that you're not going to tweet about that?
I'm planning on having the lottery ball soon, so that conversation shouldn't be
okay.
part of it.
Okay.
All right, Max, by the way, great to have you back. How was vacation?
Vacation was great. I love vacation.
Did you shred some gnar? Any pow-pow?
I went down the mountain.
Okay, so that's a no.
Yeah, I'm not the best skier. I go pretty slow, but
yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah,
better
it
worse
is fun.
Than your
yeah.
golf swing.
Definitely better than my golf swing.
That's
definitely
good.
Better than
Because, I mean,
swing.
If you were as bad at skiing as you were at golf, you'd be
no,
like,
I, yeah.
better or worse than the Sixers versus Celtics?
I don't know. They didn't have that game in the mountain. So
oh, okay.
I didn't watch.
So, Max, what you did miss, though, Hank said we came to the conclusion that a Sixers-Celtics series would be so great for this show. And Hank, not being the content guy that he claims to be, said he wants the best for content would be a Celtics 4-0 sweep.
Wrong.
Yeah.
No, it's I listen to the show. It's absolutely
3-1.
3-1.
Blow it.
And that's probably what... I don't know.
No, you won't get it.
We would get smoked. The Celtics just fucking own us, and it's so frustrating.
Wow. Sounds like you really got some perspective on this vacation, Max.
Yeah.
No, I just fucking hate the Celtics so much, and I fucking hate Doc Rivers. I don't know. The Sixers. Well, it came from the... Whatever.
Doc Rivers
this
won an NBA
Sixers,
championship with
Sixers
the
talk.
Celtics.
I know.
Why... Like, he should be able to do that with the Sixers, right? That's
yeah,
got to be a
good,
Sixers
that's
problem.
That's a good point, yeah. Hank.
No, he can't.
That's a good point, Hank.
He could for us.
All right, PFT, your hot seat, cool throw.
My hot seat was going to be Bryce Young and his height.
Yeah.
But we covered that a little bit. So I'll mention briefly the pre-dawn raid that occurred this morning on Dan Snyder. This happens once every 3 months where somebody at ESPN will write a long hit piece where surely this will be the end of Dan Snyder that drops at like 7 a.m. in the morning, and then everyone talks about it for morning, and then we realize, oh, well, nothing's going to happen differently because Dan Snyder doesn't care about
right.
bad press.
Right.
So right now they're in the midst of a back and forth. It's like a PR battle. Snyder's been saying to certain sources at the New York Post, I'm not going to sell to Bezos. The bids haven't been high enough. And now the owners respond by releasing their own hit piece on Dan, trying to pressure him out, thinking that they can shame him into selling the team. But Dan Snyder cannot be shamed into doing anything because he does not experience shame.
Correct.
He experiences, I don't know what emotion it is he experiences, but he is the secretariat of not feeling any problem at all with his own lack of dignity. He's maybe the best person in the world.
Yeah, best athlete ever.
At not having that.
Yeah.
So my cool throne is going to be the NBA Eastern Conference.
Ooh.
The Eastern Conference, because Joe Prunty's back.
Oh,
that's right,
yeah.
Bitch. Our guy Joe Prunty, the guy that looks like your accountant's accountant, mm-hmm. is back as the assistant coach of the Hawks.
Yep.
And they also hired Quinn Snyder.
Yeah.
Who looks like your accountant's accountant's coke dealer.
Yep.
So they've got the whole shebang going on down in Atlanta. And the New York Knicks are back big time, 6 wins in a row. The Mecca is going to be popping.
Mecca is popping.
I'm just going to say New York is on my cool throne. The Mecca is going to be popping. The Knicks are good. And they've got the Rangers are now picking up Patrick Kane.
Oh, that was my – oh, okay.
Oh, well, it's
that
just –
my hot seat.
Okay, well, sorry. It's the Mecca.
Yeah, that is the Mecca.
And New York in general. Plus, New York, I also saw that they're selling rat meat now on the streets. Mm. I saw a video yesterday of a street vendor with 2 rats on poles, and he was just grilling them over a charcoal grill and selling their meat to the public on the streets of New York. What?
You ate the trash.
Oh,
that was like right-wing propaganda.
Oh, no, you got to.
I also read an article about street vendors selling rat meat.
Oh, no.
No.
What site? Did you get duped?
You got duped. CNN.com. I didn't fall for that.
We got to release a statement.
New York rat
meat
vendors.
We have to get in front of
vendors.
This. People are going to say you got duped. What is our response?
Are they eating rotisserie rats in New York City?
It's right-wing propaganda. I saw the exact...
Billy would know right-wing propaganda.
I'm trying to get better.
I also read an article about it,
which is...
I'm trying to get better at not falling for that stuff, but that was 100%.
What were you just asking, Hank?
I get confused on the right and the left.
I knew that was what you were asking. I fucking knew that was what you were asking.
When you hold up your left hand...
You just said which is.
It makes an
and
L.
I knew exactly what he was wondering. Which is...
Billy's right-wing.
Yeah. Got it.
Billy's hardcore right-wing.
Got it.
Do you have a statement?
Well, I don't know if it's true or not.
You don't fight the dupage. Just say you got duped.
I don't know.
Because the liberals are cooking rats.
Yeah.
Let's see. This guy, Beehive Media, says that it's true.
That's the most fake account on the planet.
Damn.
And then the...
that's like the...
And then the caption of it is this real? So yeah. Probably not.
Yeah.
Oof.
Dude.
How are we gonna go forward?
Well, here's what you do when you get duped by something. Mm-hmm. Here's the best way to respond. Well, the fact that I thought it could be real tells you everything that
you
need to know.
That's true. That's a good.
That's the best way to admit that you're wrong without ever admitting that you're wrong.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. All right, my hot seat.
Did you really think that could be real?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I did.
He definitely did.
I did.
He definitely did.
New York's got a real rat problem, Hank. So does Boston. I saw the end of The Departed.
All right, my hot seat, we talked about it on Monday, but all our sports teams suck, PFT and I, and now Patrick Kane has been traded to the Rangers for nothing, pretty much. It was like a second rounder, and then there's another second rounder that could become a first rounder if the Rangers go to the conference finals in 2023. It's sad. I'm happy I get to watch Patrick Kane play playoff hockey, but the fact that the Blackhawks, like, bungled the second half of his career just sucks.
Yeah. Thank you, Canada, for having your dollar not inflate correctly.
Fucking A, man.
I feel you. The Celtics just went from first in the place. They're not in first place in the East anymore, so.
What place are they in?
Second.
Oh.
I think they're tied for first.
Bucks have won 14 in a row.
Yeah. Crazy. So I feel your pain with that.
You're not worried about the Bucks?
Should be.
Should be. Like, that's a no. He said a no.
I want this. I'm focused on the Sixers.
Well, yeah, you... Of course, you beat the fuck out of them.
I mean, you lost to the Knicks, Hank.
I know. Without Jaylen Brown.
The Mecca.
Yeah, Patrick Kane trade is a big-time bummer. And everyone
fun to watch the highlights, though.
What?
Like, when a player
gets traded, then you get
the good memory lane.
He's the best.
That you don't otherwise get.
I mean, Rangers fans knew it. There was a Rangers fan wearing a Kane 88 jersey in MSG the other night, so they knew it. Then my cool throne is us and our take on Victor Wembanyama. Mm-hmm. So Charles Barkley has come out and said he doesn't know if he'll be good because he's got to see him play the physical nature of NBA basketball. This means he's going to be out of this world good because Charles Barkley, who I love, is kind of stuck in the past sometimes with his takes. He famously obviously said before the 2015 playoffs, he doesn't trust a jump shooting team to win a playoff series, talking about the Golden State Warriors
mm-hmm.
that went on to win 4 titles shooting jumpers. So I think that if we're worried about Victor Wembanyama playing the physical style, banging in the post, I think we're good.
Do you remember this old hit from Charles Barkley when Yao Ming came to the NBA?
Yeah.
One game in, Charles Barkley goes, "This guy stinks. If this guy ever scores 19 or more points in a game, I will kiss Kenny Smith's ass."
Yeah.
And guess what happened? I think the next game, he had like 24 points. Kenny Smith brought out a donkey.
Yep.
That was Kenny Smith's ass. And then Charles Barkley went up and he kissed the donkey's ass. And then Kenny was like, "What are you doing? Charles, you didn't have to kiss the ass of my ass.
Yeah.
You just had to kiss the ass."
Wait. We just got to eat. We got to buy donkeys and just eat them.
Yeah. I have to buy one donkey. You buy one donkey.
And then we kill them and then we eat them. Yelich wins it.
Yeah. Problem solved.
Mean, yeah. People will be upset about the donkeys being killed, but donkeys can't even
procreate? You're talking about mules.
Yeah, that's mules.
Oh, that's mules? Yeah. What can donkeys can?
Donkeys are libs.
Fuck. I always get right and left confused.
Yeah.
I write it down on my hand, my palm, before I get up every morning.
Yeah, left hand's a snowflake, right hand's a cartoon frog.
Mm-hmm. Billy.
My hot seat's Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
First hot seat. So Joe Rogan was doing a Protect Our Parks podcast with Shane Gillis, Mark Norman, and Ari Shaffer.
Sure.
Close
enough.
But yeah, so they're just shooting the shit. They're like fucked up. And then Shane Gillis was like, "I'm starting to like Jackson Mahomes." Starts talking about Jackson Mahomes. Says he actually respects him for like going hard and is totally flipped on him. Not that he had an opinion on him before. Anyway, Brittany Mahomes gets brought up about how she like sprays champagne in the box and like celebrates a lot. Anyway, long story short, Joe Rogan made a comment being like, "Wow, it's crazy because they take that crazy energy and just bring it right back at you after when you get divorced." Anyway, Brittany took...
That's a weird comment.
It is. I mean...
They're married still, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just so assuming they're going to get divorced. And then Brittany Mahomes tweeted something about grown men talking
it's a comedy
shit
show
about someone's
Yeah,
wife.
No, I'm not... Listen, I'm not offended. It's more like, oh, like, yeah. I guess like if you're Brittany Mahomes, you could be a little upset. I'm not upset. Brittany Mahomes could be upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about grown men talking shit about someone's wife is real weird. And then she tweeted again, "Actually, grown-ass men hating on women in general is pathetic."
Mm. I disagree.
And Gillis was like
pro,
saying he likes her.
Yeah.
And then Joe Rogan made a joke. Like, he wasn't talking about Brittany Mahomes. He
it's
wasn't like
podcast
Brittany Mahomes
being written out
is
the
going
worst
to get
yeah,
a divorce from the Mahomes. He was just like, you know, passionate women in general are passionate when you get a divorce too. Like, which is he wasn't talking about the Patrick Mahomes, specifically.
A podcast transcribed is the worst form of media ever because you can't tell what anyone is saying, inflection, any of that. And also, if Brittany Mahomes hadn't said anything, it probably would have. It sounds like it was a throwaway, right?
Yeah.
So, but it is a feud now.
Well, we're talking about it because of the reaction,
right?
So they may have been on mushrooms.
That's a weird feud. I never thought Joe Rogan versus Brittany Mahomes. I'm in on it.
I'm actually taking Brittany's side on this.
Yeah,
Free Brittany.
It's just I didn't have that on my bingo card. Joe Rogan versus Brittany Mahomes.
I feel like Brittany Mahomes, she's definitely in the burner gang. She's been offline for a while.
You have to if you're her.
She has been very active in the burner community. I'm certain about it. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I like having a ride or die chick.
Agreed.
I mean, look at Patrick Reed's wife. Remember her? Use golf facts.
It is.
She's the best.
Yeah. It is funny, though. If you transcribed every Joe Rogan podcast, you could, like, people would find basically every minute something to be offended by, which is stupid. But that is how it works, right? Every time he's trending, it's like.
And these ones he does with Gillis and them, they are just getting fucked up.
I know. They're very
so
funny. They're very funny.
Yeah.
That's actually great.
Even
defense.
More so, though, when it's not even just like it's a podcast. It's like we're just shit-faced shooting the shit.
Yeah, right. We were on drugs at the time. I'm sorry.
They were doing whippets.
Oh, really?
I mean, that rules.
It's pretty cool.
Responsibly.
Very loose buttholes.
Responsibly. All right, you're cool, Jerome.
Isn't that whippets?
No.
That's
whippets
are
oh, the balloons. Yeah.
Nos.
Yeah.
Yep, got it.
My other cool throne is sci-fi headlines. There's Canadian super pigs that are trying to come over the U.S. border.
Fuck them.
Like half, like feral hog types.
No. Nope.
So not only.
Not my watch.
Bumblebee.com too.
You know what they call it?
No, that's real.
Canadian bacon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, but like apparently they're coming over the border and like sounds destroying. Like
right, what are they doing?
That sounds like a right wing conspiracy.
They're like destroying agriculture, and they're just like apparently gigantic, super feral hog pigs.
We got to build a wall.
No, we gotta do the. I watched a video online with Black Hog Down.
Yeah,
they were. Oh yeah, just getting in a helicopter and just fucking lighting
Sydney
up.
Sydney Wells
pigs.
Did it.
Yeah, Sydney went up there. Awesome. AR-15. Build a fucking wall.
Oh no, this is the Guardian. That's lefty, right?
No, that's
you don't
British.
Know. You don't know.
Oh.
All right, Jake.
My hot seat is Tom Brady. Tom Brady reportedly is starting to pursue a career in stand-up comedy, but he's on the hot seat because...
Is that from Bumblebee?
No, Barstool did a blog on it.
Whoa, Hank, are you saying we're not?
Was it Thornton?
Credible journalist?
All right. If it's Thornton, it's legit.
Yeah. But the reason he's on the hot seat is because, Tom, if you're watching this... You should be spending that time with me practicing in the booth.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Let's go. This summer I'm wide open. Let's make it happen.
Get your reps up, Jake.
Yes.
Really want to
get
see
ready
Tom
for 2024.
So same. When I saw this report, and it was from Radar Online, so you can take that to the bank. They said that his stand-up routine needs a little bit of work, but he's committed to it.
And apparently his inner circle is trying to get him to talk about
it. Yeah, because he's owed like $20 million guaranteed from Fox, so I would understand that. At first, I was like, there's no fucking chance Tom Brady is funny. It can't be possible. It can't be. He has everything else going for him. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what's going to happen? Tom Brady's going to go out there, and he's going to kill it.
Yeah, he's going to be better than Chappelle.
Yeah, he's going to...
But he should practice for the booth with me.
He should, absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, he basically just picked the one profession that everyone would be like, you're going to suck, just so he can feel that... Itch again.
It's like beat Bobby Flay, except he's just taking everybody's job.
Shit.
And he's better than everyone at everything.
Tom Brady being like an insane stand-up comedian would just be wild.
Let ugly people have one thing, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
I think he'd be a really, really good podcaster and should never try it.
Oh.
I don't know if he's...
Because he doesn't need to prove that he would definitely be good enough. So.
No, he's not built like us.
No, that's how he ends up podcasting.
Why would you want him to podcast?
He does podcast, bro. Jim Gray.
Wait, you're talking him into
not podcasting because he only goes then does what the haters don't want him to do. So
are you trying to get him to start a podcast or do
our competition?
Yeah, you just
you poked the bear.
You just made him compete against.
No, I was like soothing the bear, being like, "You'd be a great podcaster."
PFT and I are Tim Rattay and what's another one? There was a Gino something. Who's the Brady Six? Tim Rattay was definitely one of them.
With Brady Six.
The six guys taken before Brady.
Oh, taken before him, yeah. Was Chad Pennington taken before him?
Maybe. Yeah, you way to go, dude.
No, I think he'd be a really good podcaster. No need to try it.
Please don't give him any ideas. Tom Brady, if you're listening to some of my voice right now, Tom Brady could take your job and be better
Giovanni
at it than you
are.
Giovanni Camarzi, Mark Bolger, T. Martin, Chris Redman, Spurgeon Wynn, Chad Pennington. Oh, no, Tim Rattay.
Some of them had solid careers.
Yeah.
Spurgeon Wynn.
So, yeah, that's the hot seat. Tom, I will do it free of charge.
Okay.
My cool throne is chugging soda.
Yes.
There was this young Florida Panthers fan at Jumbotron, chugged the whole bottle of soda like a beast.
Yeah.
Rules.
Respect.
So, yeah. Also, cool throne, Rough and Rowdy. Tune in Friday night. RNR.com. Big Cat will be there in West Virginia.
Rough and Rowdy 20. Big Dick Booty Daddy's back. Never thought we'd see him again.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I hope he gets
knocked
out.
I went to his house and interviewed him before the last fight.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
How many guns does he have?
He's got a lot. He's got a lot.
Yep.
He's doing, though. He's fighting. If he doesn't get a knockout, he gets no money.
No money if he doesn't get a knockout. If he knocks him out, he gets $7,000, I think.
So who's he fighting?
The Irish Dave
Irish
Portnoy.
Dave Portnoy.
Okay. So
Dave Portnoy.
All right, got it.
And he's not Irish.
He just has red hair.
Okay, got it. How is that possible? Is he Scottish?
No, I mean, he might be Irish like two generations ago, but he's not from Ireland.
Okay, got it.
But he's Irish.
Got it, got it.
He's like everyone on St. Patrick's
Day. Got it.
Okay.
His liver is.
Yeah. Let's get to Joel Damon. Awesome interview. It's more full swing talk. Looks like the boys need to take a piss break.
Well, we have. It's a mini fire fest. They've stocked up on instead of normal water bottles, they're now 1 liter water bottles.
Yeah.
I love these.
And I've just...
Everyone's been pissing. We've been pissing a lot.
I'm pissing clear right now. Yeah. Never been this hydrated.
Love it.
Hank, you have to go too?
Yeah, I'm like three waters deep.
Oh, shit. All right, that's
three
fine.
3 liters,
me and Big Cat, and Max.
Chug it?
Yeah. Spurgeon Wynn and Chad Pennington over here. We'll finish this off.
Yeah. I can jug it.
Yeah, jug it.
Yeah, no, Hank, go
no,
to
jug it.
Go
I, to the I just you just asked if you could jug it, and I said jug it.
Go to the bathroom, Hank.
No. No. He needs to go in the jug. Yeah, look, he got so low.
You won't be able to do it.
No, you won't.
He's gonna be like Ed Sheeran all over again.
Dude, I'm a fucking road dog. Get out of here. You think I can't piss in a jug?
Hey, Max, put the camera on Hank. Okay, good.
Yeah, look at the Jerry angle.
Are you gonna put your dick on the show?
You won't be able to do it.
What are you talking about?
I don't think you're gonna
Hank,
be able
look
to do
at
it.
Me. Look at me.
What's up?
Make eye contact. No, you can't do it.
Billy's gonna walk it. Like, Jake's gonna report me to HR if he sees me.
Probably. Come on. Let's go.
Shut
up. We'll wait to do the ad. Let's see you do it.
I need to get an angle.
Oh, what's up, Pilar?
Come on, Hank.
Shut the fuck up. Just do the ad.
I don't think you can do it. No, we're not doing the ad until you're done.
All right. Well,
this ad read is going to be presented to you by Hank's hot piss.
I just need to make sure it's not.
You can't do it. You've been talking about it for 3 minutes.
Shut up. It's not an issue.
3 minutes of talking. Let's talk more pee.
I just want to apologize to my mom. I know she's going to get mad at me for this.
For what? Peeing in a jug?
Yeah.
Can you mic it up?
Look how easy it is, Hank. That was fucking nothing. That's fucking easiest thing in the world. I just pissed while you were preparing to piss. I pissed in that jug.
I'm going.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What are you thinking about? Oh, here comes Jake. And Jake.
Hey, Jake. What's Hank doing?
Oh,
is he pissing?
Yeah. I just pissed in this one.
You guys have done it before, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we did it.
We did it during the...
Can you throw that out for me?
The Dungeons & Dragons episode.
You big guy like defies gravity.
I think I heard Hank talking about it. They doubled the water bottle size in this office, so it just forces you to drink more, which is great.
Hank, are you peeing?
Yeah.
Are you?
It's really taking you a while.
Yeah, guess how much in a liter bottle?
You'll probably get halfway.
I'm not good at metric system.
All right, he's done, and... Oh, nice.
Well, whatever that is.
That's 60%? Clear. Big guy, you got to drink more water.
Yeah,
look at
probably.
His compared to your...
I mean,
he's
I've been crushing
yellow.
Waters.
Yeah.
I almost said something that I almost said something really bad.
Thankfully, you didn't.
I was going to say that if Hank gets a lottery ball, I'll take a sip of this.
Oh.
But I didn't say it.
We don't have champagne.
I didn't say it.
Well,
I didn't say it.
You did say he's never going to get it.
I didn't say it.
If you're sure he's never going to get it.
If you get it, I'll take a sip of this.
All right, fine. Deal.
All right, deal.
Just for this episode?
Yeah, just for this episode.
No, we're not keeping these in here.
Yeah. All right. So if I get the lottery ball, you have to take a sip of your own piss, and if you get it, I'll take a sip of my own piss.
And I have pack. I got all right.
Yeah, can you put a top on it, you fucking psycho?
That's crazy.
Wait, it's also hanging halfway off the edge.
There's dip in his too. That would make it so much worse.
Yeah. Wait, I'm drinking my own urine.
I don't dip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he just piss in there?
Yeah, I piss in this one too.
I have the worst fire fest for Thursday.
Okay.
Wait, we're not gonna be on the show. Say it now.
I got bit by a bunch of fleas.
What the fuck, dude? From your bed? How are you doing that?
My dog came back from work.
Oh,
was being
no.
kept.
Wait, your dog was at work?
No, I was away at the PLL. I got my dog back, and then I was sitting on the couch first night, thank God, and I started feeling, oh, shit, something just bit me, and then I realized he had fleas, so it's just my couch. I'm clean. Don't worry. But they itch so goddamn bad. I've been trying to keep it together because the Benadryl just wore off.
Yeah, so you're sitting on that couch infested with fleas.
Next to Jake.
You're going to get Jake sick with fleas.
No. Not this.
We had our own hotel rooms.
No, right now.
Oh, right now.
No. You can't carry them. It's not like that.
I bet you could figure out a way to contract fleas.
And how'd your dog get them?
Because he...
Well, he was at work.
No, but I caught it
he
the
works
first...
the flea factory.
No, I caught him for the first time. No, I caught it early, thank God, because the only place he was my couch. So that's like ground zero. So we disinfected. I did the whole anti stuff, but I'm itching so badly right now. It is terrible.
So is this better or worse than your tiger infestation
in the past few years?
This is actually, it's once a year I get hit with something. I'm currently, yeah. It's wild.
You remember when you got bit by tigers and then you couldn't eat meat for the rest of your life?
I'm out of the window, actually.
That's a shame.
So I beat it. I beat Alpha Gal. Okay. I didn't know. Never mind.
Okay.
Don't transcribe.
All right, let's do the ad.
Yeah, this is going to be a great interview. I love Joel Damon. Great guy. He's brought to you by Coors Light. Free time can easily be taken over by other parts of your life. If you're working late or if your dog's working late, if you've got dinner with the in-laws, at-home DIY projects, and you have to dedicate some time to yourself, Carving out time in your calendar to kick back and relax can be tough with so much going on, but you owe it to yourself to carve out some time to chill. And when that time comes around, reach for Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. I love Coors Light. I love drinking Coors Light when I'm watching college basketball. You know what? I remember last time we were in Chicago during March Madness.
Yes.
And we went to Bird's Nest, got some piping hot wings.
Yes.
And ice-cold Coors Lights. Certain meals like that just stick out amongst the rest of your life. It's all background noise, but when you get a nice meal of hot wings and ice-cold Coors Light, you remember that for years. There's only one beer out there that's made to chill. That's Coors Light. You know that Coors Light's made to chill. It's mountain-cold refreshment. We have T-shirts in the Barstool store right now, actually, that say the mountains are green for St. Patrick's Day. So mark your calendar for some quality time with Coors Light. It's the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/take. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And now here's Joel Damon.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. He is a two-time top 10 finisher in majors. He is top 80 in the world in golfing. Is that right still? What are you at right now?
Probably closer to 90.
Top 100, yeah, top 100 in the world, yes, in golfing. He's also taken the world by storm with his episode of In Full Swing, the Netflix documentary out now. It is Joel Damon. Joel Damon, thank you so much for joining us. I think I speak for everyone when I say you stole the hearts of people who watch Netflix documentaries because they have nothing else to watch in late February.
Fair. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad it turned out pretty good overall, I'd say. We haven't had a whole lot of negative feedback, which is always great, but we kind of just put ourselves out there. When you have a camera and mic on you all the time, I mean, you guys know about that, but it's easy to slip up and say something stupid, and I think they did some good editing for us.
Wait, so what is the negative feedback? You've definitely had one where you're like, fuck this guy. He has it so wrong.
I mean, a lot of it is, I mean, they did lean into my self-deprecation or my, apparently I don't believe in myself at all, according to the show, but it was just a lot of people reaching out, like wanting to help me. Like I have a problem or an issue, or I've had all these sports psychologists reaching out. I'm like, all right, that's a bit of a stretch, but you know, it's nothing real negative. There were some people who didn't like my drinking mid-round. That was a big problem for some people.
I didn't have a problem with that. That was one of my favorite parts of the entire documentary.
Yeah.
When you're trying to qualify for the U.S. Open and you do the longest day in golf, our good friend Danny Woodhead almost qualified, I think, at that yeah, same tournament. So after you're done with one round, you weren't playing very well. You slammed a couple claws back, had a few white claws, and then you went out there and you played better, which I think is very relatable because most normal people, they're like, I'm better when I'm buzzed. Would you say that's fair, like at your level too?
Yeah, there's a very thin line there for you know, when you're one of the top players. There's obviously you can cross that line very quickly and it gets ugly out there, but yeah, I wasn't playing that great. I tend to have a couple claws at home with my buddies. You know, when I'm out playing with them, that's just kind of, you know, we listen to music, we drink some beers, we play fast. So this one was kind of no different. I had to play well in the afternoon. It just seemed like the right thing to do at the right time, and glad it worked out for me.
Yeah, so you mentioned the self-deprecation, people reaching out. That is funny that people are like, hey, I'm here for you, random stranger on the internet who watched a documentary. But I think deep down what I loved about the episode is you're a very relatable guy in the fact that I think you know you're very good at golf. You wouldn't be on the PGA
yes,
tour, right? Like that's
correct.
So it's like almost people forgot the very basic thing of like obviously he knows he's very good at golf. There's just a difference between maybe you and the guys who are so insanely like singularly focused that they like it just consumes everything. You have maybe a little bit more of a balanced life. Is that fair to say?
I think that's very fair to say. Yeah, those guys at the top, like they dedicate their whole life to being the best at what they do, from their nutrition to working out to, you know, the people they surround themselves with. Where, I mean, I take my job as a professional golfer very seriously. I mean, I do practice, I do work hard, I do have a trainer, I do have a swing coach. Like I've surrounded myself with great people, but I also like to have fun. And like golf does not consume who I am. I have an awesome wife. My caddy and I are best friends. We hang out all the time. We go have some beers after rounds sometimes. We you know, whatever that is. I like to go on vacations. I like to just kind of hang out. So when I'm playing golf, I'm very serious. I'm working hard, but I can shut it off just as easy as I can turn it on.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Because, yeah, I didn't watch it being like, this guy, it's so sad how much he puts himself down. It's just like, hey, there is, you know, it's actually very similar to the Tony Finau episode. Like, it doesn't, just because, like, golf isn't everything to you, doesn't mean you don't care about it and want to do well when you go out and play in tournaments.
Right, exactly. And I think that people think, I mean, a lot of people on the outside don't really understand that, I mean, you can get burned out very quickly.
Right.
You know, just, you know, endlessly hitting balls and practicing all the time and the travel. You know, there was some of those episodes, guys are flying in planes that are personalized to them. And I'm flying private with my friends on American Airlines often. So it's just a little like, you know, you get burned out from all the practice, from the travel, being away from your family, like that all can take a toll. So I try to enjoy both sides of it.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between being the like a 50 to 100 ranked golfer in the world and then being in the top 10 in terms of what you can do on the course? Like, we know, obviously, like, they're psychos and all they care about is golf, and they wake up thinking about golf, and they go to sleep thinking about golf. But, like, physically, from a shot-making standpoint, where is that separation where you become, like, the best of the best?
Yeah, I think the big separation is in the ball striking. And if you just look at the FedEx Cup list or the money list every year, it's going to be typically the guys who hit it far. So, you know, you look at, I think, 1 and 2, 3 in the world are Scottie Scheffler and Rahm and Rory right now. Like, they just bomb it, and they hit it very straight, and then they hit their irons really well, and then they make some putts. So, but, like, the one thing is length and you know, accuracy off tee, and then your approach play into the green. So if you can give yourself the most birdie chances after hitting a great drive, and then after that, the guys who win are the best putters of the best ball strikers that week. A lot of people think, oh, I want to make all the putts. Well, you have to get to the green first to be able to make the putts. So these guys are, yeah. And so I think that's just the biggest separator, where I'm not necessarily a bomber. I'm pretty average off the tee. I hit it very straight. I'm one of the most accurate guys, but I'm also 50 yards behind some of these guys. And that's just a huge, huge difference.
So how long exactly are you, would you say?
I mean, like, 4 or 5 inches.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's okay.
You are very average. Yeah. No. Yeah, no, bro. Like, we're this. Yeah. I could be a professional golfer with the same dick size.
Right, exactly. I think I average like 295 off the tee. Like, if we're in like a dome situation, it like flies like 285 and goes to 300 yards. Like, that's kind of a pinning situations. Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's crazy too. Just saying that, being like, yeah, these guys at the top are 50 yards farther, and you're like, yeah, you're hitting 300. And so it just shows how insane professional golf is, how good you guys are. It's nuts to
and
watch.
And the athletes are just getting bigger and stronger, and, you know, technology's better and the instructions better, and all that stuff is like optimizing how to hit the golf ball now. And it's just like, so you have these bigger, stronger, better athletes working out more with better technology, and all of a sudden, you know, the ball is going to go forever.
It would be pretty funny if you had a steroid arc where it's like Joel Damon shows up to like the Phoenix Open just completely shredded. And then you get busted for steroids. But then you're like, hey, all you people who hit me up about full swing, you said I should take it more seriously. There's nothing more serious than taking steroids. Like, there's an arc there. I'm just saying.
There is. That's fair. That would be an interesting one. I don't know how, you know, golf is still mental as well, but I'd be curious how that all works. Do you get roid rage on the golf course? That would be a next level out there.
Do you get piss tested after you do really good in a tournament?
So it's not quite like you're seeing like in other sports. You know, it's like, I think DK Metcalf had an amazing catch and like won like the celebrity MVP or whatever, gets drug tested the next day, or these guys hit a bunch of home runs or whatever it is. So not quite like that. We do have scheduled, I don't know if how scheduled, they're quote unquote random, but you get 4 or 5 piss tests a year, and you're supposed to give one blood now because we're an Olympic sport. So it's kind of here, there. I mean, if you're not doing anything too stupid, it's pretty hard to fail.
It would be funny.
You should do steroids.
We're not trying to ruin your career, Joel. We're rooting for you, but you should do steroids. Like,
right. Joel, I want you to listen to me. You're good at golf, man.
Yeah.
I want you to know that. You're good.
Exactly.
Like, all right, so you golfer. Yeah, you, let's just play it out. You do steroids, you get busted, you get banned from the tour. We get to talk about it and make a lot of funny jokes. The podcast gets better. So are you a team player?
Well, with that being said, I mean, if I do get busted, can I, do you think Dave would hire me? Maybe yeah. with four play guys, or just like, I could just be some guy around the office, whatever that is. But yeah. if I take your advice, get busted for steroids, then you're going to need to give me a job somewhere along the way.
Well, it's actually, I'm thinking about this now. It's crazy that, and maybe this happens in golf circles, like a super, super rich dude just hires a former PGA golfer who got, you know, banned from steroids, to basically be his partner in like all club tournaments and stuff. I'm into that.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I think
you basically
talking...
just travel around. You play the best member guest. You just drink and eat, and you kind of hustle people out of money. That's,
yeah,
that's like a great day.
Yeah,
yeah. Are you at the point where you'll go to golf course? Like, have you shown up at like a muni track and tried to play undercover and just sandbag the hell out of anybody?
It was easier a couple years ago. My caddy and I used to do some money games. You know, we would reach out on Twitter and be like, "Hey, I missed a cut this week in Boston or wherever we were at," and we'd go out and play. But it's a little bit harder now to do it, but there's been a couple times you show up and people don't know who you are. You just kind of get a game, which is fun. But after a couple holes, they kind of figure it out. So I haven't figured out the full sandbagging side of things yet. But I think it would be a ton of fun to be an undercover. I think it'd be fun if like Max Holman and I went out to like his muni and just like had like ruffled old like Happy Gilmore in clothes and like these crappy clubs and showed up to the first tee and balled out on some people. That'd be a ton of fun.
Do you think that you guys could do that and hustle people effectively if like the way that you would sandbag them would be you try to hit your tee shot in the bunker on every hole, on all 18 holes. Do you still think that you would like mop the floor with your really good like local club player?
Oh, that's an interesting one. It probably depends on the harder the golf course is, the bigger advantage tour players have. So if you go play like your local easy country club or whatever muni down the road, the separation won't be as much as if we were going to play like a US Open setup. Like that's when you get a big separation where like a club, you know, a club champion would still probably shoot 90 at a US Open setup, where tour players, you know, we can keep it under 75 most of the time. So I think that would be the biggest advantage or the biggest, it'd be the biggest, you know, difference in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You were talking in the documentary about how Max, or maybe it was Max that was saying it, how when he gets drunk, he just tells you repeatedly that you're good at golf. Does that get annoying?
Well, we both have kids now. So our drinking time has been less lately. And he's also, I think he's inside the top 10 in the world now. So
yeah, but he's a choke artist. We both know it.
Oh, that's such a scratch. That's tough to hear.
Did you see him at the Genesis? Did you see him at the Genesis?
Can you call that a choke?
Oh yeah, we called it a choke. We dubbed it. We claimed it was a choke.
What about the other six times she's been close to leading? He's closed them all out. I think his record's pretty good.
Lucky, mostly luck.
I actually think he's going to win the Masters this year.
I also do think he's going to win the Masters. We have a complicated relationship with Max, where I'm very negative to him because everyone on the internet sucks his dick constantly. So you have to have like one guy who's like, "You still suck, bro."
And it might as well be you.
It might as well be me.
You know, you're the guy. You're the guy that he just posts his tweets, like he pins them or whatever, and he puts them on like his mirror in the morning when he wakes up. Maybe that's just you.
Yeah.
I like that. I think he's going to win the U.S. Open. I don't know much about the Masters. I haven't been there, but I think the U.S. Open is going to – it's in L.A. You know, it's where he's from. He's got all those positive vibes and all those cool things he says now and his mantras. So I think L.A. could be the spot for him.
Yeah, I like that. So speaking of Max, let's play a game called I Asked Max Some Stories About You. So this is what he gave me.
This is so bad.
Max said, ask him how many White Claws he drank when he shot 58 at his home course.
I believe we got to 12 on the 18th hole.
Okay.
So it wasn't like the most ever, but it was a pretty good clip to shoot 14 under par.
As your swing coach, I highly recommend that you get wasted at all tournaments.
Yeah, it sounds like there has been discussion, but I don't think that there's a spot there, and I found a spot that day. But it's if you poke the bear too often with it, it doesn't work out in the end.
It's very true. Somebody should actually study that, because we've all had the thought, maybe when you're playing beer pong or you're doing some sort of like eye hand coordination event, where you reach that golden space where it's like, if I were to guess, it's probably right around a 0.06 to a 0.07 if you were to take a breathalyzer. Science should really catch up to this, because I do think that there's something to the fact that if you're buzzed but not drunk, you can be better at certain sports.
Yeah.
There is something with the freedom. It just kind of frees you up. It clears your headspace. And I think, like, you know, a lot of people play darts or beer pong or pool, and it's like, oh, I got to be a little buzzed to play this better. Like, we all know that feeling. So I think if you can somehow get there sober all the time, that'd be great. But that's just not realistic in the fun games we play. So, yeah, it's easier after three or four beers to just find your zone and get after it.
Okay, so we're talking about buzz, but you were hammered when you shot a 15.
Well, White Claws is over four or five hours. So, you know, that's only – I mean, after I hold the putt to shoot 58, then I got hammered. Yes, that was a fun next couple hours.
That's an insane score. I mean, were you just every single hole? You're just like, I keep doing it. What's going on now? Because it sounded like you were having fun when you were doing it.
Yeah, we actually had Kyle Schwarber and Ian Happ out that day. And then a couple other buddies. So we had a good group. We had a six-some. It was during the pandemic, 2020. So the Cubbies had their time off, but. I was only 200 through seven, so I shot 12 under my last 11 holes. So it was blackout on the golf course side of things. You know, I clearly wasn't blacked out from the White Claws, but it was a moment that I probably will never return to on the golf course, but I'm glad it happened.
That's incredible. All right, here's the other one. Questions that Max asked me to ask you. The time that you went out on a Friday night because you thought you missed the cut, but then you found out that you actually did make the cut.
Yeah, that was back on the Corn Ferry Tour back in 15 or 16. Might have been summer of 15. We're in Springfield, Missouri. That is maybe the armpit of America. That is a tough area there. Great tournament. Nice host. Just a tough area. So it's like 100 million degrees. It's hot and humid. It's in July. And yeah, I thought I missed the cut, so we had some beverages, and then turns out I made the cut, so I was one of the first off Saturday morning. I was not feeling well that morning. There's possibly a video I might send you guys after this if it's kept under wraps. It's pretty great, but I feel myself walking on the first tee and not feeling so great. I ended up making 10 birdies that day, shot 9 under, and was in fifth place after that day, so... there's been a couple of these things. I really don't do it that much anymore, like almost never, which is good. But yeah, there was times when I in my younger days when I could handle a hangover better than I can handle one now.
You I think you've taken, like, between Full Swing and just talking to you here, you have the title as, like, guy everyone should want to golf with. Because, like, when I think about when, like, oh, I want to go golf with, like, John Rahm or, like, you know, Jordan Spieth. No, not really. They're probably psychos. You would probably be a good time. You know what I mean? Like, it would. You probably don't, especially when you're not playing competitively, take it that seriously.
Yeah, I think golf is – I actually have the most fun. If you're near the lead on Sunday in tournament, that's the most fun. But if not, I love to play golf with my buddies back home. Like, it's one of my favorite things to do. It's like a lot of – you know, they're working – you know, whatever, 40-50 hour weeks. So when they get off, like, they're having the most fun. They're all of a sudden they're at their Disneyland, and I get to join them in their best part of their week, and we're gonna drink and hang out and have a blast and kind of talk shit to each other and, you know, gamble a little bit. So I love that. I'm at a fun place called Mesa Country Club. The four play guys actually came out and did a scramble out there, but it's just a great group of guys. You just get together and you have a blast. And so if I hit the lottery, I don't know if I'd play PGA Tour golf anymore, but I would still play golf all the time with my buddies.
That's awesome.
Is that your caddy that just walked by?
Yeah, that is my caddy, Gino.
Does Gino want to come over and say hi real quick?
Gino, you want to come say hi to these guys?
Do they want me to come say hi?
I think they think your bald head is beautiful and they want you to come over here.
Shaved badly.
Said his bald head needs shaved. I don't know how this audio works, but we're a close couple here anyway, so we can do it.
Hey, Gino.
Hey, Gino, what's up?
How's it going?
So
he was go left of that.
He was just telling us how you won't let him get drunk anymore while he plays golf and how he secretly resents you for that.
Yeah, I know. So, well, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And I would say it probably doesn't work out more than it does. Sorry. Technical difficulties.
That wasn't a technical difficulty. That was just stupid.
You just never put on headphones before.
It's a left ear.
I thought I gave you the other one.
No, it's... That's because
you're in the wrong one.
There we go. He needs a caddy.
Yeah, why'd you let him drink?
Yeah.
I enjoy money, and the alcoholic beverages seem to take that out of my pocket sometimes.
Yeah.
Would you guys consider your relationship to be a bromance?
I just think we're just basically married at this point. I don't know what you would call that, but we spend as much time together as we do with our wives. So, and we kind of fight like married couples, and we complete each other's sentences and all that jazz. So
that is great. True. We'll get into arguments on the golf course without ever actually speaking. And he'll pull a 7-iron and hit it over the green. And I was like, I had a whole argument with you about why you should have hit an 8, but you won the argument.
Right.
And no words were ever actually spoken.
Yeah, and so there's a great moment in the Full Swing episode when you call him a boner at the U.S. Open. Love.
Yeah,
that
I was hoping
moment.
That one wouldn't make the. I was hoping that wouldn't make the cut, but here we are.
So has there ever like a point, because you guys have a very unique caddy player relationship, where I would imagine Tiger's caddy's not being like, "Hey, you fucking boner."
He should
probably not. But has there ever been a moment where you thought, Gino, you might have gone too far, or Joel, you were like, "Hey, dude, you're my caddy. Like, chill out for a second."
I try to be conscientious of the fact that he is my boss. He's my best friend, but also I respect him, and I try not to take it to that next level. And I know I couldn't say that with other players. If I was just randomly caddying for somebody else, I would never do that. So I kind of know my boundaries and what I can and cannot say or should not say to Joel. So I'm always mindful of it. I try to stay on the good side of the line there.
Yeah, and Joel, so has he ever, what's the closest, like, where you're like, you know what, fuck this guy?
Well, I think I say that all the time, just in a strictly like a brother thing. I'm like, no, that's a terrible club. That was a bad read. That was like, so he lets me vent to him and doesn't take it personal, which is great. There's been times where he's like, dude, you are miserable to be around right now. Like have more fun, shape up, or this sucks. You suck at golf right now and you have a terrible attitude, so I don't want to be around this. So he kind of kicks me in the butt that way to kind of gets me turned around. But we've had a few dust ups out there, 99% my fault of just saying stupid things to him because I was mad. But he's really good about keeping it like pretty business on the golf course. We have fun, but it's still, I am the one who cuts his check. So I get to be the boss, which is great.
At the Waste Management a couple years ago, when you took your shirt off after playing the 16th there, did you know that Joel was going to do that? And after the fact, did you try to, you should try to take the heat for him, be like, I told him to do that. I'm sorry. Like as a caddy, you could get away with like, you know, I'm the bad guy here. Don't attack Joel.
You're right. I should have, now that you say that, I've never even thought of it until right this moment. I definitely should have took the heat for that one. No, I did not know the shirt was coming off. The way it played out with Harry Higgs and the fact that he had a 10-footer for par there or whatever, and everyone chanting, take it off. And I think you can hear me say in the video, I was like, if he makes this putt, I feel like it's coming off. And, you know, sure enough, that shirt comes up. And I looked up and they started throwing beer cans, and one was coming right at me. And I didn't know if they're full or empty or what, but I felt like I was in danger. So I actually ran through the tunnel to 17T as soon as the beer can started flying. And I stopped and I looked back and I could see Joel, you know, helicopter in the shirt. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was something else. But I definitely should have taken the heat for that one.
Joel, if you make a hole in one at the 16th hole at the next Waste Management, you got to go full frontal, right?
Yeah.
Just
helicopter your dick.
Just drop trowel.
You guys should do meat spin. Pants you guys off. Should do meat spin together.
I remember together from our college days, you would go in and change the homepage of buddy's computer to meat spin.
Yeah, exactly.
You count how many spins you
get. Ride round, baby. Yeah.
Wow. That's classic. I don't know if mine's big enough to meat spin, but I might have to actually just take my shirt off.
All right, so wait, last question for Gino. Do you ever talk shit to other caddies? Because I would do that if I was a caddy.
You'd be so bad at that.
Maybe not as much as I should. And it's, a lot of other player caddies don't have as much fun as we do.
They are working.
So, yeah, they're out there taking their job serious and all. But there might be some poking, and but it's all like just little playful stuff, nothing too aggressive. It would be more fun if we really get after each other.
Yeah. Like if you win, if I was a caddy and my player wins, I'd be like, bump up my rate because you should have seen what
Stuck
I did.
On that bitch.
Yeah, you should have seen what I did to the fucking the co-leader's caddy on the 15th hole. Like I just mentally destroyed him. He hasn't had a good read all day. You gotta start doing that, man.
That's right.
You gotta start doing
that. That's a good call. I feel like that's a really quick way to be hated.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah. Who cares? It doesn't matter if you're hated, who cares? It's just you can't let Joel get hated. Yeah.
As long as you're winning,
right.
Who cares? Like, you can't be 200th on the FedEx Cup talking shit to everyone.
Well, you
and
can.
And then try to get
a job.
It would
be very funny.
Yeah, yeah. Right. All right, well, Gino, thank you. By the way, we might have just started to put a little birdie in Joel's ear that he should start taking steroids. You guys can deal with that later. But thank you for hopping on for a second.
No, you guys are awesome. Thanks so much.
All right, see you, man.
All right, so, Joel, I was, like, I had questions being, like, how does this relationship work with Gino because it is so unique. But, like, him just hopping on, I get it. I'm just like, yeah, he's actually the perfect guy where you could tell he has fun, but he also knows how to switch it and be serious if he needs to be.
Yeah, totally. I don't think Gino gets enough credit for actually, like, he's a very good golfer on his own. I mean, he's a scratch handicap. So he's good at golf, but he knows golf. He understands strategy. He's actually a very good caddy. Like if I were to fall off a cliff tomorrow, he would be picked up very quickly by another player out there. He's very well liked by everyone. He's respected by the players. So I think that's a misnomer. Gino's just my buddy who just has a good time and we're just hanging out. Well, actually he's a very good caddy as well. And I'm lucky that, you know, we kind of get both sides of that.
Yeah.
Does he advise you on your fashion sense? Like the bucket look, the
bucket hat
look.
Rocks.
So well, the bucket hat, I like the bucket hat, but we're historians of the game of golf. And as far
right.
as we know, I think I've been watching golf for like 7 years now. No one's ever won a major championship whilst wearing a bucket hat.
Correct. Yeah. The bucket hat is, I don't know if it's quite a fashion statement, but it is great for skin care. You know, protect yourself from skin cancer. It's the number one way to do that. So I don't pretend that I look maybe the best out there, but I will say that when I'm 65 years old, my skin will not look like a crocodile, wrinkled, leathery, gross as much as some other guys out there. So that's what I'm going with.
It's also nice that you don't get that forehead line that everybody has. There are some brutal forehead lines in the Netflix documentary. Shocking.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of those. I mean, Stuart Sink, I think, is known for the most
yes.
now with the bald head and that, which is it's incredible to see even in person. But the tan is way more evened out, which is nice, and keeps the sun off me for the most part, which is great.
Listen, bucket hats, no one's ever seen someone in a bucket hat and been like, that guy looks so fashionable and awesome, like attractive. But they do look at it and they're like, that guy looks like a fun time.
I would say so, especially if you're at like a pool party, you throw on the shades and the bucket hat, now you're protected and you're like the fun guy who's kind of the beach, the pool.
Yeah.
Like, that's right. I think they've really come in lately and you see a lot of younger guys doing it in the sun. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. So you did mention protecting against skin cancer. You have an unbelievable foundation you just launched. It's called the Damon Family Foundation. Not to get serious, but that part of the story on the full swing, that was a really like impactful. You lost your mother to cancer. You had cancer. I think your brother had cancer. I mean, it's really, did they, when they brought those up, were they trying to get you to cry or was it? Cause I feel like there's something that happens in these documentaries, where they maybe like showed you some really like sad pictures. And then they're like, all right, we got some questions real quick about your mom.
Right. It was, I would say that, I can talk about my mom 99% of the time without crying, but you know, like you said, they push some buttons on there and they put I don't know, it's almost like the music comes on, you know, when those things and you just feel like all of the feelings are there and they ask you these pointed questions and you're like, yeah, I mean, you kind of get into it. I mean, you know, so yes, correct. I think that was their goal. They knew what they're doing. They're good at their job and it works. That's for sure. I did not plan on crying about my caddy, but crying about my mom and kind of the struggles we had with cancer. Yeah, I mean, that's just it's real and it sucks. But, you know, everyone can actually, you can actually relate to that.
Yeah,
because everyone know someone or either directly or one of their friends or whatever it is. So, you know, cancer doesn't care who you are.
Yeah. And the Damon Family Foundation, go check it out now because it benefits children and families through the game of golf and focusing on cancer patients. So it's, yeah, you're right. Like everyone knows someone, family member, friend who's dealt with cancer. So it's something that we should all rally behind. That's
go really check cool. out the foundation. Yeah, for sure. I think we're going to try to have a golf tournament in December in Mesa, Scottsdale area. So we'll try to launch one. I'll try to have some of you Barstool crazies come out and have a lot of fun. I know you have a bar out there now.
Yes.
So might as well. And we can get you guys swinging some clubs, and then we'll go to the bar afterwards.
I'm in.
I shot a 72 at Shinnecock. I just want to let you know so you don't stand back.
Did you shoot the 70?
I shot the 72. I went out to Shinnecock, and then I played. And then after, I wrote 72 on my scorecard.
Oh, well, great job.
Thank you. I mean, that's pretty simple. Like, the thing that people don't realize about golf, you can shoot whatever score you want when you just write on your scorecard. It's so stupid people are like, I'm trying to get under 100. It's like, bro, you can be under 100 tomorrow.
You can, right. You just write it down and don't use an eraser on it. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah. I actually did have a bunch of people hit me up being like, I didn't know you were that good. It's like, yeah, man. It is what it is.
Yeah, hey.
It's really good that day. 72 at Shinnecock.
That's awesome.
I'm curious. I have one last question because I noticed more so during the documentary than I have watching golf about the ludicrous size. I don't know if it's the scorecards or the yardage books that you guys carry around in your ass pocket all day.
Yes.
Do you have to get special pants for that? Because it doesn't look like they fit in a normal pocket.
So that's funny you say that. They look even worse on the LPGA tour because the girls have, like, you know, way smaller shorts or whatever, and the pockets are smaller. But no, they the people who make the yardage books, there's a couple different companies, but there's a couple of popular ones out here, and they do fit in a normal pocket, but they are rather large. And I still don't really. I just carry one because that's what the good players do. I don't really look at mine that often. Gino does, which is good, but I don't really. Yeah, so you can put, you know, you put your yardage book in there. You put the pin sheet. You can put little notes, and then a lot of people carry the scorecard in there as well. So it does look funny, but a lot of people have their favorite teams on there, or you know, they put their nickname or whatever it is. My wife made mine like 8 years ago, so I feel like I should use it still, even though I don't really look at it. But it makes me look like the part more so than anything else.
Oh yeah, by the way, congratulations on having a child. That means you're gonna play well this year.
Is that what that means? Is that perspective thing and like the whole like life change thing? Yeah, and you take golf more seriously. All right. Yeah, well,
which is
that'd be great.
Yeah, which is even more shocking how Max choked at the Genesis. So, we do expect big things from you this year with new fatherhood.
Well, yeah, it's been fun. We're 5 weeks in. My wife has been amazing. It's amazing to watch what the women have to go through, and then like their instincts just take over and all of a sudden they're just like this amazing mom. So for me, I'm working at it. I'm participating a lot. I don't know if I'm good at it, but I'm trying hard. I'm trying to make sure my wife's comfortable and, you know, I can do all the extra around the house. But it's been a lot of fun. I can't wait for the little man to grow up. And you know, they say don't wish for that, all that other advice, but man, I want my kid to be like 10 and playing sports and I can go yell at the referees and do all that stuff. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And also you can use your child as a shield in case anybody accuses you of taking steroids.
You can be
like, listen, I'm a father. There are more important things in life than golf right now. I wouldn't sully my body by doing that.
Wow. Way to bring that back in. That was impressive. That was true professional podcasting there.
Yeah, no, it is true. You can just, anytime I find myself in any issue, I'm like, listen, father too, dude. Like, it's whenever someone's trying to get out of a big issue, they're like, as a father and man of faith, how could I ever say this slur? Well, I said it, but how could I?
Right. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Barstool, I got a Big Cat. I got to ask you. I think I first heard of you back when you were manhunting.
Yes.
That was the first time you came across my feed. Can we go manhunt something else or do something fun? I really enjoyed that.
Dude, that was, so for people who don't know, it was back in 2013, the Marathon Bomber. Was an old Twitter, like very old, you know, Twitter 1.0. Dave and I found the police scanner and we live tweeted, kind of illegal looking back on it, because like we actually probably harmed their own investigation. We were just live tweeting updates from the police.
Wait, were you the guy?
You were, like,
were you
on
the
guys
top that, of it. That, yeah, that yeah. Made, that, I was on
that,
top of it.
That one poor bastard get accused?
No. That wasn't guy? Us. No, it was we were. It, that was before because that was like there was a kid at like Brown or
MIT
something.
Or something. Yeah.
No, this was during the actual event, and then it was that was a crazy time. I was addicted to manhunting. I am down to manhunt something. So.
Yeah,
what should we do?
I'm pretty into that type of stuff. Well, I'm not sure. I was willing to take your lead on it, but I would just, you know, let me know if you see something come up that's worth manhunting. I'm pretty into
dude,
it.
Dude, you
what
know
about,
what?
What about one Joseph Coney?
The
child soldier leader. You remember him? We never did find him back in 2012.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I'm going to have to look back into this. Maybe should we get on the trail again?
Yeah, we should probably get back on it. I don't know if you saw, but I got, since I had that like buzz from manhunting, I got addicted to like police scanners and stuff. And it all ended with like 2 months after that, there was an upside down horse in California that I was like live on the scene on the scanner. And I was like, this is probably too much. Like being a police scanner person is a little weird. Like, it was, like, 4 in the morning in Chicago, and I was just like, we got a horse upside down in a hole. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to get this horse out?
How did you choose which scanner you would go on? Like, would you just go to big ones?
I just go to random ones. People would tip me off being like, hey, we got a situation going on here. And I would just – and then you there's a point in your life where you're like, am I going to be a full-blown police scanner guy? And I stopped it right then, which I think was the right choice.
That was the right choice, but it was, I think if it's just big enough and it's, and it's captivating the entire country or the world, I think you should get back on the chase again. That was rather enjoyable.
You know what the best are the people that just dedicate an entire Twitter account to like a college town, a small college town, like Iowa, their police scanner.
Yeah.
And then after a big win, right. It's all tweets like, there's a 19-year-old female who's on top of a traffic signal. She refuses to come down.
Yeah.
I love those. I love those updates.
It's crazy. I'm not narcissistic enough to say that the FBI literally tried to dupe me and Dave because we were so hot on that Marathon Bombers case. But if you remember how it ended, it was crazy because they called off the investigation. They're like calling off the manhunt. I went to walk my dog Stella, and I came back, and they're like, we got him. So it's like they called it off. So it's like, hey, everyone go home. Just kidding. Like, manhunt over. And they caught him like 10 minutes later because I think they were trying to get like everyone to like relax for a second. So they got, you know, it was a great time. It was a great time. I appreciate you following through that.
Yeah, I'm all in on it.
Yeah. Let's talk. Can we quickly talk about Seattle sports? Because you're a diehard Seattle sports fan.
Absolutely.
So would you like to tell us about Russell Wilson?
Yeah, super weird with that one, huh? I got to admit that I had his jersey. I was a huge fan, and I believed in, like, what he was selling. That special water that could cure his concussions, and, like, he actually, like, people actually liked him, and he was great in the locker room and this rah-rah stuff. Like, and the amount of comebacks he had and, like, just the weird stuff that happened in his career kind of, it kind of all made sense, and then turns out he's – fraud is a bit much, but sounds like he's, you know, kind of got too big for his boots, and I'm glad that he's not a Seahawk anymore. And then all these stories are coming out how they didn't really like him at all. So
yeah.
Thanks for the Super Bowl. I appreciate Russ, but good luck down the road.
Yeah. What about the Kraken? Are we into the Kraken?
We are. I'm actually a season ticket holder with the Kraken.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I split them with my cousin up there in Seattle. I can't lie. I have not been to a game in 2 years, but I'm a Kraken fan. So.
You have the tickets in case you're in town.
That's great.
And have nothing else to do that night.
We sell 95% of them. I have a hoodie. I have a hat. And I check the ESPN app every now and then. So I'm a pretty big Kraken fan.
Yeah. Huge Kraken fan.
You're a puck boy.
The Mariners are back. Like, they're officially back.
Yeah, it was nice to make the playoffs last year. I grew up with Griffey, right? So like that 95 Mariners team when they came back from down 0-2 on the Yankees was like when I was a huge, that was all of it for me. And then in 2001 was their last time they made the playoffs, but they won 116 or 120 games in the regular season and, you know, obviously lost in the first round. So I think with Julio Rodriguez leading the charge, we have some solid pitching. Jared Kelenic is having, I think he had an awesome off season, he's gonna have good spring training, and he might actually, you know, kind of be dangerous this year and come into his own. So I'm actually a big Mariners fan. Follow along. It's not just fake. So I'm super excited. I'm hoping, you know, we can kind of go on a run here.
Yeah. Those mid-90s Mariners teams are some of the funnest to just go back and just name guys that were in that lineup.
They had
the most guys maybe ever in Major League Baseball.
From Mike Blowers and Joey Cora and Jay Buhner and Vince Coleman and Tino Martinez. Yeah, Dan Wilson catching. I mean, we had it all.
They were so good. And really good. Yeah. Yeah, and fun.
What about the Sonics? Are you on team bring the Sonics back?
Of course, yeah. I think I was pretty disappointed when the Kraken came in. It was kind of a if you can prove you have a hockey team, you can redo this arena, you know, we can do this. But it seems like it's down the road a bit. I grew up again with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and Detlef Schrempf and, you know, like unbelievable time to be a Sonics, you know, fan. And so you know, and even then we had Ray Allen. And when I was a freshman in college, maybe a sophomore, but we had Kevin Durant as a rookie there. So, like, it's, you know, in Seattle's basketball, I mean, if people follow it, like, the high school scene is unbelievable how many players come out of Seattle area. So I think the culture's there. And I think if you got a team back, I think it would be insanely popular. So hopefully it's happening. But the other problem is the NBA is so watered down now. Like the difference between the top five or six teams and then the bottom half is just atrocious. So like if you just add two more teams, you're just gonna. I mean, you might as well have me play on the Sonics at this point because they'd never win a game anyways.
That would actually be really fun.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. Like that's a genius idea. Seattle boy done good plays on the Sonics and just gets absolutely torched every game.
I would definitely not go inside the arc on offense or defense. So however we go, I'd be like a terrible, be like the worst version of JJ Redick you've ever seen.
We were talking during the dunk contest. They should have just some random guy come out onto the court and get dunked on every single dunk. So you have like an incredible like a 360 windmill, but then just some poor sap that just gets teabagged and falls to the second row just for the effect of it.
We always say on tours, like, you have a lot of people like, why don't we have like the local club champion come play or the random 10 handicap come tee off first and come post a score and see like what it's really like out here. So I think if you're getting dunked on, that's not quite as much fun as playing golf, and you can't put someone on a football field because they might actually die.
Right.
But it would be nice to have just your normal average Joe who thinks he's a decent player come on and, you know, just watch him get clowned on.
Yeah, it would. It would be awesome.
To remind us just like how insane these guys are.
Right, right. We do sit on the couch and we're like, fuck this guy. Like, he just rolled his ankle. Right. Why can't he get back in the game?
I mean, we did say that.
Brock Purdy's arm, it looks good to me, bro.
Right. You're totally right.
I just tape it up.
Yeah. How did they miss that read? Like, throw it over here. Like, it's not, it's so easy. Apparently it's not.
It is so funny when you break down sports fandom. Like, I know Brock Purdy was very hurt, but there's also a part of me that's like, this guy's being such a pussy. It's like, it makes no sense. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fully aware of the fact that, like, that is wrong thinking and I am a wrong person.
Sure.
But you can't deny that that part pops in your head and you're like, this guy's so soft, dude. Like, how is he not throwing the ball? Just grip it.
Of course, but that's why it's called fans, right? Isn't fans short for fanatics?
Yeah.
So, like, that's just, we're crazy. I do it. Like, when I'm watching golf, I'll play in the morning and shoot three over and come sit on the couch and flip it. I'm like, oh, you can't hit it there. That's unbelievable. I'm like, oh, that guy's beating me by seven. So, like, what am I? I'm like, God, you're terrible. I'm like, you literally are beating the crap out of me on the same – I just played the same golf course 2 hours before you. So, I do that all the time.
Yeah. All right. So, I had one last question, Joel. This has been awesome. We really appreciate you coming on. Roback question. Use code TAKE, roback.com for 20% off your first purchase. Great. Golf polos, Q-zips, joggers, which I love, the performance joggers. So go check them out, rhoback.com. Use code TAKE for 20% off your first purchase on roback.com. All right, my last question. So you have been on with the 4Play Boys, who we love. So you said you have a $44 club in your bag. Do you still have that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That thing is not leaving. It's my hybrid.
Talk us through that. So you have a, like, no one has a $44 club in their bag, right? Like, as pros?
There's actually another player who has the same height. It might be Stuart Sink, actually. Or maybe, no, it's Lucas Glover has the same hybrid as me from the same time, 2011, I believe. So some guys will grab random putters. You can be very personal. Like, putters are kind of whatever. Like, whatever you can make a putt with, you just kind of roll it, right? So that's easy. But, yeah, technology's came a long ways. But I actually think with this certain hybrid that I have, it's been so good for so long. So it actually caved in on me after 10 years. So Gino bought three more on eBay at like $40 a piece. So I have backups, and then people have been sending me their hybrids. It's like, just so I have a closet full of these things in case they ever keep breaking, I can just keep going to them.
That's awesome. That's like finding one pair of shoes you like and just buying them all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite there yet, but I can see one day where I will be that person.
You have cornered. So is it like, is there anything special about the club?
No, that's the crazy part. It's even like the shaft is like straight off it's off the rack, as we call it. It's just like anyone can go on eBay, grab this hybrid, and it's 20 degrees. So it's like a two hybrid for me. Goes about 225, 230 yards. And so I use it into par fives if it's shorter, or into a lot of par threes out here on tour. And it's obviously my favorite club, but you look down, it's all scratched, like the paint's coming off, like there's still the sticker on the shaft, you know, it said like pre-owned, so it's pretty great. But it's just what I like. It worked for me.
Did you name it?
No, I haven't actually, but someone made me a head cover with Gino's face on it, and it said like Gino's favorite club, please pick me or whatever. So I stuffed this. It's not very good looking head cover. It's not Gino's fault. It's just like this brownish looking one, whatever. But the actual face, just Gino's smiling face, is on there. So that's just floating around with me in the bag all the time, which is great.
If I was like a golfer, I would name my clubs. That'd be sick.
Yeah,
that is a smart idea. I should look into that.
Yeah, and I mean
Henry the hybrid, maybe. Ooh, Henry, ooh. That's a terrible name. Henry,
yeah, that doesn't sound like a winner.
Maybe
though.
Hank.
Yeah.
Hank, yeah, but Hank's kind of like the tank, and this guy isn't really a tank. He's more like a sniper.
Okay, so, yeah, also don't... So,
Chris, you know, Kyle?
Golf ball's like the size of a ping pong ball. That'd be bad luck.
Yeah. But, Joel, thank you so much, man. This has been so much
fun.
Yeah,
thank you guys. This is awesome. I follow along to all of your hooliganness and all the crazy stuff you guys do, but... yeah, you guys are great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate it. And we'll definitely have you back on again when you
love to.
You're going to win something big this year. I feel it. I feel it.
It's, I love that. Happen. I'm gonna try my hardest. I'm gonna put a little, not more work in, but I'm gonna continually work at it, and hopefully the stars align for me.
Same amount of work.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You're good at golf, man. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, yes, actually, thank you. Max sucks. Like, the fact that he just gets drunk and says that, what? Like, who wants to drink with that guy?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's too serious. And he's too good. So I got to go out. I got to beat him these next couple weeks. So I have some bullets in my chamber next time he comes talking crap to me.
I love it. All right. Thanks so much, Joel. Appreciate it, man. Okay. Great interview with Joel Damon. Thank you so much. Everyone go check out his foundation. Let's wrap up. We have, if you skipped ahead, by the way, we had something happen right before the ad. Hank peed in a bottle. I peed in a bottle. And if either of us get the lottery ball number correct, the other person has to drink out of their bottle. So that is going to happen. I'm going to get the number.
It's not.
Okay. Chicago FAQs.
Yes. Quickly before, Billy is wearing the hat. I've been wearing it for the last month or so. PFT liked it so much he basically stole mine when he saw me wearing it. Those are on sale today as well.
Sorry for promoting your brand.
I would say it's the best hat we've ever made.
I agree.
Say that.
Agreed. I wear it all the time.
Agreed.
Yeah. No, PFT literally was like, why do you get that?
Yeah, no, Hank does get
big dogged you.
He gets his grubby little mitts on the merch before anybody else gets a chance at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I happily gave it to you because they're great hats.
All right.
Chicago FAQs.
How many people ask for jobs?
Memes went through these, so I'm sure he filtered those out.
Okay.
Hey, fellas, can you give us a rundown of all the features of this new office? I've heard there will be a basketball court.
Yes.
But what else besides that?
Yes.
Workout area, tennis court,
yes.
Batting cages, turf area, pool, hot tub, sauna, steam room, pool tables, ping pong, etc.
No ping pong table.
I'll hang up and listen. Oh, we'll have a ping pong table.
Yes, it is. No, we're going to take it away for Vibes.
Oh, got it.
It's going to be incredible. It's a big reason for the move is you can't get this type of office in New York City. We'd have to go live like deep into New Jersey or something for that. But the office is going to have a ton of awesome stuff. So a full basketball court, a full golf simulator, full workout area. We're going to have a turf stretch where we can do shit, competitions and stuff. The warehouse is big enough that we'll be able to play wiffle ball. We have a ton of different new studios. PFT is going to have a music recording studio. There's a kitchen for cooking videos. The gambling cave is going to be sick. It's basically, if you thought about, like, if Barstool Sports met, I don't want to say Dude Perfect.
Just say Dude Perfect. All right, Dude Fantasy Perfect. Factory?
Yeah, Fantasy, Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory. Yes. There's, and then we still have, you know, we're going to have a bigger green screen room, a bigger studio for stuff. Like, it's going to be everything we've wanted. We've loved our time in New York, but this office, I'd say we've outgrown a long time
ago. I also think, I mean, you guys, it was just us three when we moved to New York, but, like, when we were doing the show remotely, talking about moving to New York, like, this is what we were trying to get.
Right. Mm-hmm. Correct.
It just didn't work out space-wise.
Yes.
But this has been something I would say has been in the works, and, like, it's not, you know, we didn't just start thinking about it. We've always desired, like, to have this space, and now that we have it, it's going
to
be
great. We actually looked, when we first moved to New York, I remember Dave, Kevin, and I went and looked at spaces, and we looked at a space in Long Island City that was similar to what we're getting, and Dave was like, it's too far away from Manhattan. So it is, yeah. It, the amount of content that we're going to be able to create day to day is going to be insane just by the space that we have.
Hank has actually been talking to me about maybe getting a full F-18 cockpit flight simulator.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a new gaming room, too.
So the full F-18, Hank says that there's room in the budget. So that's going to be incredible.
But
I can't wait.
I told him that he just came into some money, and that's a good investment for him.
That is a good point, though, PFT, because we will have a new gaming room, and I will, when the NCAA game comes out, I'll bring back like that kind of stuff. We don't have a lot of those things in this office right now.
When is the move happening?
I'm going to be, I think, the first one out there, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So I'm heading out. I'm heading out in June.
Same.
And going to get to spend a full summer in Chicago. I've spent a grand total of probably 15 to 20 days in Chicago over the course of my life. I'm told it's the best summer city in the country.
It's very fun.
So there will be a fleet of boats. There will be a lot of golf being played. Yep. And it will be a great place to get my feet wet.
I'm going to probably move sometime in July, depending on baby three, when his arrival is. And then in terms of when the new office will be opening, it's a set date of September 1st. So
plan for November.
Yeah. No, there'll be some hiccups to start, but we will hopefully be in the new office for football season. So that's actually a good question, because June and July – we might be getting a little creative with some of our taping. I assume people will be cool with that. But we will obviously still have a show every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's just we might be doing a little bit of remote taping. I might come to Chicago and do it in the old office. You guys might come back here for a couple tapings. But we'll figure it out. So there might be about a six-week stretch where some of us are there and some of us aren't.
Yeah, and if you can't make it out, I'll just do the show with White Sox Dave.
Yeah, people love that.
Yeah, no, it's going to be – I guess this is probably – you know, we had a lot less listeners back then, but in my mind,
like,
it's
no listeners back then.
It's like the same as when we moved to New York. Correct. Which obviously that summer was very much like
chaotic,
in flux.
Yeah. I mean, well, with the first 6 months of this show was all
right.
Skype.
Right.
Yeah. So and technology has come a long way, because remember how bad the audio was with Skype shows?
Yeah. And sometimes our producer just wouldn't be awake.
Yeah. Now we have, I actually think Riverside.
Well, that's you know, long days on the boat and then trying to record a podcast, like, that might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Might happen. Jumping off a bridge into the ocean.
That's why we're not moving to LA.
Yeah. Is the whole PMT crew relocating to Chicago?
Good question.
Good question.
This is what people want to know.
I'm like 50-50.
I'm less than that.
Yeah. I mean, it seems fun. It seems like a cool city, but I have to be sold on it a little bit more.
So there's a bunch of people moving from the office, including a lot of the PMT guys. I think we're going to do, by April 1st, we'll have a full answer to exactly who's coming and who's not. But Hank, Max, PFT, myself, And then there's, like I said, a bunch of people in the office. I think there's some people in the office that are weighing their options. So by April 1st, we will know exactly. But I think a lot of people know, like, Brandon, KB, Nick, Kate, Mark Titus. Who else? So my Uncle Chaps is coming. Am I missing some people?
Donnie.
Donnie just dropped that on us yesterday. Yeah. Chef, I'm very excited.
Chef
about
Donnie
that.
And Wonton Don?
So I've heard.
Yes, heard that as well. Well, I love Donnie so much. He can't not. I love Chef Donnie as well, but and I had a conversation with him a few months ago. But Wonton Don came up to me. He was like, I was just thinking maybe like I travel a lot. Like maybe I'll come to Chicago. I was like, yes, dude, yes.
Yeah, he brought that up out of nowhere a couple of days ago. I was like, yeah, okay, yes.
That would rule.
Yes,
Jerry's coming. Maybe Stephen Che. There's a lot of people, so it'd be great. It would be a great group.
Big T,
maybe, yeah. So there's a lot of good people.
First, congratulations on the move. Do you think it will be harder to get guests in Chicago versus New York City?
Good question.
I think the truthful answer to that is yes.
A little bit,
because there just won't be as many guests. But
in person, guests.
Our mission will be to be the spot that you go. Like we're Chicago. If you're coming there for sports, you're going to stop and talk with us.
Yeah, so I've thought about this because obviously there will probably be – the way I've broken down in my brain, I think a lot of people who listen to this show, there's some really good guests. Joel Damon was a good – you know, why am I losing my words? Was a good example of that. A guy we never met, comes on, great guest. We'll still be able to do that, obviously, via Zoom. There are also some interviews that we do with the press junkets – that don't always land. I think those are interesting, but we might lose out on a couple of those. But like PFT said, I do think that because we're the number one sports podcast, whenever people come to Chicago, they will come especially to our office and want to see that. So it might be a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be drastic enough that people are going to be like, oh my God, they can't get any guests. And we'll throw this out there. We are going to travel still to get guests if we have to. Like we've been talking about doing a week in LA every year. Like if we have big guests, a lot of our big guests we travel to, and we will still do that.
Is ABP going to make sure to have loud heating pipes in the new Chicago pod room?
Yes, and I want to be next to a fire station.
Yeah.
Those are my only two requests that I asked him. Yeah. As long as I have three requests for him, I want to have the worst pipes in America. I want to be next to an ambulance, and then I would also like the Wi-Fi to never work.
Yes.
So we've got the right man for the job.
I'm pretty sure these pipes are voice activated.
Yes, I'd agree. Max, are you excited to be behind the glass?
Sure.
Max is going to be behind the glass.
We're going to have glass?
Because they can edit it faster.
That's pretty sick.
When they're actually... So I didn't know this. Hank told me this. We've been doing this for 7 years.
Is that true?
Oh, you made this up?
Hold up, let him cook.
Wait, you made this up?
No, I don't think. I think you just misunderstood what I was saying. Finish your thought though, because I'm curious what your interpretation.
Hank said that when we finish recording, they have to take it all from these computers, and they can't edit it until they go back to their computers. True or false? You said that to me.
True.
That takes
the
5 minutes.
Oh, he made it seem like it was a big fucking deal.
No. The point was that we have Memes, Evan, and Shane who are not in the room.
Oh,
so they can listen live.
Got
and
it.
Make notes and like you know write like
that makes
that's
sense.
A good clip. Whatever
that makes
in real
sense.
Time.
I thought Memes and, was just listening somehow on his computer.
No,
right now.
Like they we record for an hour and then
there's
they
no
listen.
Zoom.
Yeah.
BFT, did you think that?
Memes comes in occasionally, and he like references something that we talked about.
It's, I feel like at one point it's possible, but like,
yeah,
no. On the weekends, he can go and listen in the control room.
Got it. So now we'll have everyone in the room, and then Max and the boys will be behind the glass with mics, so they can still talk. But it'll be nice for them. The show should get better for that.
Yes,
well, it was a good idea in theory for us to put this fucking squat rack in here. I would say it's probably like we could have used the space better. The nice thing about the new Chicago office is we'll have a squat rack in the office so we don't have to put it in our
studio.
I think
we should have two squat racks. I don't want to wait.
Many times where I'll move back and be like, what the? Oh, fuck. I forgot we have a gym in here.
I don't want to wait and Nick is in the squat rack.
Yeah.
And then I have to.
True. But our new studio is going to be sick.
Yeah.
It's going to be sick.
My favorite days of Barstool were in HQ2 when everyone was always interacting with each other and there was drama captured on stool scenes. Is that part of the vision for Chicago office? And what was the main motivation for the move to Chicago?
That is it right there, what they just said. So that was also my favorite time. COVID happened. The New York office, a lot of people spread out. It's not really popping. Like, if it's us a lot of times, and there's not a ton of people. I mean, there's people who come in and out, but they don't come every day. There's a lot of people who come a couple times a week. It's not consistent. The first New York office was consistently a madhouse. The Chicago office is going to be pretty much the only requirement is you have to show up every day. And so that will hopefully bring back some of that je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, and I guess the thing about this move is there's a lot that we can say that we're going to do once we get there, and we do have a lot of big plans. But the fact that it's going to be a brand new place, brand new people interacting, there will be side projects and spinoffs and new series and all sorts of new stuff that we can't possibly predict right now until we get out there and start mixing everybody out in that terrarium with each other and see what's clicking. So,
but that person's point is exactly what I've thought, is that it's kind of it hasn't died here, but it's definitely slowly petered out, and a lot of people are in, you know, the space is just not good for it anymore.
I think COVID, it, like, we started coming in and the general, like, for probably a year or so, it was basically like, you know, we don't want people interacting at the office. Come to the office, do your show, and leave. And that has just kind of stayed as, like, the people's routines.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We just kind of pretended that we weren't allowed to come into the office and – the other way. We pretended that we were allowed to come into the office for a long time.
Right. We just came in, but it was like, man, we probably shouldn't have all these people here, so just come in and, like, do your show and leave.
Right.
Don't be, like, interacting.
But anymore. The madhouse is going to happen.
There should be a daycare in the office.
That's a bad idea.
Bar school sports.
All right, couple last ones. Where did it go? Oh, do you have any nerves moving cities and offices? Big step. Excited for you all.
Nope. Moving sucks.
Yeah, the act of moving sucks. I'm very excited.
Yeah,
I can't wait.
I'm very excited. I'm gonna play
so much golf.
Yeah, there's a shitload of golf courses that you can drive. I mean, that's the other thing. People can have cars, all this stuff. But the act of moving is the worst. Like, I haven't thought about it yet. Especially, I'm gonna have three kids. I'm moving. That part, yes, I am going to hate so much.
So
I might just burn it all.
Yeah, that's good.
Maybe like sign it. You know. Interior design deal or something.
What kind of interior design will just show up with a flamethrower?
No, like, just get rid of all my shit and get shit.
Oh, I like that move.
Yeah.
Like new wardrobe, everything?
Yeah.
New city, new you?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That, dude, you should do that.
Bring my TVs.
Don't even bring them.
I got a big TV.
I'm doing 7 on my wall.
So... Looking at Chicago houses, a lot of them have the same type of format where the basement is just
1-3-3.
The basement's just guy room.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at every single basement and just imagining, because I've missed basements so much. I grew up with basements. I didn't have one. My friends had basements. They're the best places to hang out in the world.
Yes.
Don't have them in Texas. The ground's too hard. Don't have them in New York. I'm going to have the best basement of all time.
It's going to be
all my pent up basement envy that I had as a child, not having one of my own. I'm going to turn my basement into the best room in any house that I've ever been in.
Yeah, this is
like a perfect place for a flight simulator.
Think about this.
There's not going to be enough room.
Going to having rooms in your home that you don't even go in.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in New York City.
Yeah.
You use every single fucking piece of your house.
Are you going to have that one weird room in your house where you walk in and then you turn to the left and it's that room that nobody goes into?
Yeah, there's always that room. Fucking fuck that room. Yeah, that room sucks.
That room sucks.
Like, you like basically Thanksgiving, Christmas, and like one other time a year.
But it's not even the dining room. It's
it's a sitting room for cheese before, because it's like, oh, we shouldn't be watching TV right now. Let's all sit and have a conversation. Fuck conversation. Put on the TV.
That room is... It's the room that your parents bring you into when they're telling you that they're getting a divorce.
Yeah.
And it's never used besides that.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah, we're very excited. I'm sure there'll be more questions. But yeah, the big pieces that people should take away is September will hopefully be the new office opening. The move will happen over the summer. Also, we've been talking, I think, what we're going to do. So we'll all have moved, but I think we might do a back to our roots grit week. and go through the Rust Belt and maybe bring our piles. That's how we do it. We bring our piles on the RV.
I was thinking about that. Two things related to the pile. One is we're going to have to get rid of our piles before we leave somehow. Two, do you think people right now are looking at our corner and already like mentally staking claims on where they're going to sit?
This studio is being taken by someone.
Yeah.
They don't know yet. I ask all the time. They don't know.
They don't know who's taking it?
Give us a hint.
Why can't we know. What if we just lock the door when the last one leaves?
We should leave it like this is a time capsule.
Yeah. We should do a time capsule.
Museum? People can start.
We should do a time capsule before we leave New York.
Yeah.
We should bury a box in Central Park.
Yeah, and we should make it just filled with lies about stuff that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, congrats to the Commanders and the Bears won 6 Super Bowls during the initial run of Part of My Take.
A shitload of predictions, too.
Yeah.
That, like, we'd be like, see, we told you the Astros or the Rangers in 2055 was going to win the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. Time capsule. There's a dude who buried a beer in college.
We should keep the lottery ball machine.
Came back and just like grabbed the shovel and just started digging. It was like, what the fuck are you doing? It was just one single Bush Light.
That's awesome. That's dude's rock. Yeah, somebody make sure to put a note down. Put in some sort of memory machine for us to
do a lottery ball.
No, we're not bringing the lottery ball. I'm buying a bigger lottery ball machine that you'll lose on that too. We're gonna have one that's like featured in the office.
We should do a ball pit.
Yeah,
and all the balls have numbers on them.
What about the green couch?
Fuck that green couch.
Green couch. We should.
I mean, it's broken and never got fixed.
We should sell that. We should sell that for charity.
Yeah, people would buy it.
Yeah.
For charity.
I almost matched, but we don't know how much that would sell for.
A lot.
A lot. A lot, a lot.
What if we burn it?
You're right. You know what? Fuck those charities. Fuck the charity. Fuck the kids.
Well, we burn it for charity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Talk that one out.
Yeah.
We're going to burn
start
it for
burning
charity.
It, and then the charity money comes in.
Yeah.
Okay. Hank.
Yes.
Have you ever gotten the number on this?
Nope.
Okay, so this is an interesting one. So I'll take a sip of this if you get it, and you'll take a sip of that if I get it.
Yeah.
Hey,
should we add anyone else in here?
Do you have my clothes?
I ordered your Arizona merchandise at the end of last show.
Do you have it?
You're such a bitch.
Also, Venmo, I listened last show. I was getting dragged for not giving the second half. Venmo will not allow
it.
Well, no, you didn't know. Yeah, I mean, you did the classic scam artist thing. You said half, being like the other half will come. You got yourself a few days of grace.
I have tried to send it multiple times, and it's too much. Venmo is not happy with me.
Oh, interesting.
That's how it's going.
Because Roan, who you went with, sent it instantly.
Yeah, well, Roan's probably got a much bigger bank account than me.
So you don't have the money.
I do have the money. Well, I do have the money.
Well, then that shouldn't be an issue.
Do you think Venmo checks the size of your account?
Maybe. I'm going to try it right now.
There's no way you're going to do it. All right. Number.
69.
18. I also did the research on the winners.
Yes.
17.
All of the numbers. Me, PFT, and Billy all have 4.
What was that?
Max. Big Cat and Liam all got it once.
That's crazy. I think I have one on the computer.
15 winners.
Yeah. Which doesn't. Mickey Mouse.
Wow,
Mickey
I got 4. So many.
I'll go 88 for Patrick Kane.
That was recent.
Remember, 3 of the last 4 have been a double number.
I'm going to go 22.
All right. Can I change?
No.
All right.
What did you say?
No, you can. What would you go? You can change.
Officially?
Yeah.
Confirmed?
Yes.
Confirmed.
8.
17. I'll switch mine to 17, Big Cat.
Wow. That was 20. So dumb. That was really dumb.
What do you have, Big Cat?
88.
88, 17, 69, 18, Max.
I hope 17 hits so bad.
If 17 hits, you have to drink both of our piss.
Fuck you. You're way off.
30. You're never going to.
That was anti.
Yeah, that actually was the scariest one.
That was
done.
Really dumb.
Should we run it back?
Yeah.
Counting?
No.
Oh, we should do it for Friday's show.
Oh yeah.
True 69.
Yeah. All right, we'll end this show.
Love you guys.
Oh, fleas are really itchy.
No, flea bites are really itchy.
Yeah.
It's all better to say, 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 it's all better to say,